Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, you need to talk.
Is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get the park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure. I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, who let the dogs out? Who?
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right. The dogs are out, and they're on the show. PFW in Progress is here until 2 o'clock to talk Christmas and football for the next 2 hours. And
happy Festivus, Fred.
Yeah, this will be our last show before Christmas. Tomorrow will be Patriots Friday on a Thursday. So this will be our last chance to talk to you before the big game against the Jacksonville Jaguars this Sunday, 1 o'clock, here at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, I think their defense is
Del Rio.
That's right, Bill. And how would I describe how I am? Optimistic?
Incompetent?
Cautiously? Incompetent, Paul says. Wow.
It's not in the holiday spirit, Paul.
No, he comes out swinging.
Wow.
You know?
It wouldn't be me if I didn't do that.
Yeah, well, I figured Andy would. Where is Andy, by the way?
He's coming.
Where's he? What's he doing?
He went up to get his lunch.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't eat. He's on a diet.
Do you remember back in the day when I used to go and pass up the pizza and get my own lunch and I was made fun of all the time?
Yes.
How come no one picks on Andy for doing
it? I just did.
Not really.
Well, yeah, but you looked so sad when you did it.
You know, I like pizza.
You'd be looking over at Andy eating a calzone, and you'd have your little plastic tub of whatever.
No, it wasn't a calzone. It was pizza. It was Pizza Wednesday when I was yelled at for, like now, for taking two pizzas down here.
Yeah.
Remember we used to get yelled at for
that? Oh, so you were doing that.
It was a boycott.
It was a boycott.
Remember when you guys used to bring three pizzas down here?
Well, we had more people.
Or people who could eat for more people.
Right. So, anyway, so what's going on, Paul? Bill Belichick had his press conference today. It's Wednesday. It's media day. That means Papa Gino's pizza free for the media, so they all show up.
A short press conference for Bill today.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the subject matter?
Well, Jacksonville, obviously. He talked a lot about the Jags and the personnel and kind of the same things that we've dealt with Jacksonville in a lot of ways, but with some differences, too. I mean, you have Garrard still. You have Jones-Drew. You know, you have some of the personnel like John Henderson on defense and Rasheen Mathis and guys like that. But just talked about a big, physical, fast team, Jacksonville. But there are a lot of young guys, too. And two of those young guys in particular, Fred, are their starting tackles, Eben Britton and Eugene Monroe. And I think that's an area where the Patriots can really exploit. I asked him about the tackles and kind of got a lukewarm endorsement from Bill. You know, usually Bill is over the top in his praise, but he said, you know, they're hanging in there. They're getting better. Britton, in particular, he said, has done a nice job with his run blocking and hadn't done a lot of that in college. So not really the over-the-top kind of praise that you tend to see from Bill. And then just a lot of questions really about Jacksonville and the personnel. Mike Sims-Walker came up a lot in their passing game. And he called Garrard the best running quarterback that they'll face, best scrambler that they'll face, which makes sense in that I made that comment last week that after the Thursday night game, Teddy Bruschi had said specifically that the best scrambling quarterback in the NFL, or he may have called him the second best behind Aaron Rodgers. And Bill said it was the best one that they would face. They haven't faced Aaron Rodgers, so that makes sense. But then we went in the locker room, Freddie.
In the locker room, okay.
Absolutely nothing. Crickets.
Really?
Crickets in the locker room.
Okay.
Finally, with about 5 minutes to go before the locker room period was over, Dan Copen ended up with a huge gallery around him, right in the middle of the locker room, and from behind the training room door, the trainer's room door. Through the crack, you had Matt Light yelling, "Don't tell him anything, Copen! Don't tell him anything!" It was very funny.
Which we all laughed at, but it was different than normal, and I didn't know if there was something to it.
Huh.
Like any kind of like orchestrated boycott.
You know, with all the...
Well, there's another open locker room tomorrow, so we'll see what happens. But
not going to be anybody at that one.
Crickets.
I'm wondering.
And they'll be like, every player was sitting at a stall waiting for interviews.
I'm wondering if there's any reason for guys staying away from the media this week. Maybe there's something special they have planned. And
well, I was wondering if they're just...
They don't want any questions asked, certain questions asked.
I just thought maybe they're cramming. Because they're going to have a little time off on Friday. Maybe they're cramming things in and they're a little busier. Maybe there's more meetings and kind of squishing things in earlier in the week because it is a holiday. Maybe he's letting them leave a little early tomorrow. I don't know. That maybe it's just a
That's
pure...
reasonable.
I'm wondering if maybe they got a little bit of a tongue lashing from the coach about the rumor that you said you read on Nesson.com about the so-called apology that Belichick gave the team. And maybe Bill wasn't happy that someone had said that, if it's true. Hypothetical.
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't happy that someone would leak that out to the press, and he reiterated how he doesn't want that stuff out there, and this is the player's response was, well, I'm not going to say anything to get myself in trouble because I'm not going to say anything.
Or it could be, as a team, they're upset with the media because it was not an inside source, and it was made to look like an inside source, and so they're getting them in trouble.
Well, didn't you read it to me and say it just said according to a source?
It said according to a locker room source. To me, that sounded like someone in the locker room.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Well, if it's in a locker room source, then yeah, I agree.
But maybe it was just someone who talked to some, you know, like let's just say it was Ted Johnson, and he's talking to one of the defensive players.
And that's not a locker room source.
It isn't. But maybe the players are mad because it really didn't come from one of us, but it was made to look like it was, and now we're pissed off, and we're going to take it out on the media.
Yeah, I don't really think that that's a possibility in terms of the reporter.
If Ted Johnson talked to a player and a player said Bill apologized to us, that's a locker room source. The player is the locker room source.
I know.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think you can write it as a locker room source, but the player can't be mad because the player said something to somebody.
Right. But you never know. Maybe the player said this is off the record and it got out there.
That's a whole other issue.
That is off the record is off the off the record doesn't mean you can write it without an attribution.
Right.
That doesn't mean the same thing. So, yeah, there's a lot of different things that could be going on. Now, we ended up with Dan Copen was the first to talk. Wes Welker had a group around him. He talked for a little bit. Derek Burgess for a really short time right before we got out of there. And I think Jarvis Green, that's it. Now, Tom Brady had his talk at the podium in the media workroom.
How was Tom? What did he have to say?
I guess Tom talked a little bit about Mike was telling us a little bit about that, reflecting a little bit on the season.
Tom Curran asked him a question. When you know you can play par golf or 70 golf, how do you deal with it when you're playing 80, basically? Meaning a funny, cute kind of golf analogy to say, how do you deal with the fact that you guys aren't playing up to your potential?
Four!
I guess Brady had kind of a long, reflective answer on it. And he also bristled. Apparently, Mike asked him if they won, would he take time off? Would he rest? And he didn't like that talk. Everybody would like to rest and all that stuff. So kind of down. I think he will. If they clinch this week, I think there's a very good chance
he plays this year, or
a series against Houston.
Yeah, I mean, this year it's not just resting him. He needs to get healthy, you know.
Right.
Now, you know, it'd be interesting, and he'd never tell us. I wonder if these injuries that he has, not the rib, but the finger, is not something that can just get better with rest, and that he'll need some type of procedure once the season's over.
Certainly a possibility. You know? And I disagree. I think we will find out if he has a procedure.
That oh, what? Yeah, then we'll find out.
That generally trickles out at
I'm
some
I'm just
point.
Wondering now, like, if, you know, taking a week off really isn't going to help the finger at all.
Sorry, your mic on?
Little Fred Kirschism. I don't think a week off is necessarily going to help his injury. I think he just needs the rest. I you know, if he has cracked ribs, that's not going to magically get better, you know, because he...
No, but it's good to have a week where it doesn't get worse or it doesn't hurt.
Exactly. That's what he needs. But in terms of him going into the playoffs, you know, closer to 100%, it would be very marginal, if anything at all, with cracked ribs, a bad finger, and a bad shoulder. Not to mention whatever state his knee is in, that we probably have no idea how much that's bothering him.
Or just his head, his stress level, his mental.
Yeah. And listen, in the past, he's taken this last game off. I know that Patriots fans don't necessarily believe that, but he played about a quarter in a game against San Francisco one year, I think 04, the last game. He played sparingly in 05 when they sort of wanted to lose that game to Miami. To get the seed that they wanted in the playoffs. So there have been times where he hasn't gone wire to wire in that last game. Even 06 against Tennessee, he didn't go wire to wire in the last game. He played into the second half, but remember that really chippy game in Tennessee?
Yeah.
So there have been times where he hasn't played the whole game in the last game.
Freddie, you watched that bowl game last night?
No.
I thought you would. The BYU's running back is Unga, UNGA.
Yeah.
Three-time 1,000-yard rusher. NFL type prop, but I thought you'd like him because he's just a big bruising. I don't want to offend him, so he's either Samoan or Tongan. I'm not sure exactly, but big bruiser. I thought you'd like him. It was also a wind game.
A
couple six-yard punts, Freddie.
I watched all the rest of the Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes last night.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were into Loserville.
Hello. That's a great show, idiot. You know?
Not the show I'm questioning.
What, watching them?
I don't get the whole thing of sitting down and watching like 17 of a show in a row.
I didn't. I only had three more left to go.
Oh, okay. Three's not terrible, but.
Thank you. I'm not a loser. What an idiot.
I don't get the whole. People do that a lot. Like, they'll buy or rent and watch like a whole season in a day or two. And I don't like anything that much to where I'd want to sit down
shocker.
And just watch
well,
it.
Well, yeah, really. Shocker. I mean, come on.
I don't know. I like my family, my friends. I'm a man of the people.
You are such a liar.
Once in a while, you don't like to just sit down and watch a bunch of movies?
I really don't.
No?
No. Because all I think about is other stuff I could be doing.
Yeah.
Around the house or anything. Just.
Well, you need to stop and smell the roses every once in a while, Andy.
Sitting in front of the TV is now smelling the roses.
You know, just relax.
What passes for smelling the roses.
A little me time, you know?
I have a little me time in the shower sometimes.
Well, that's not the kind I'm talking about. All right, web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And, again, we will not have a PFW in progress tomorrow, Thursday.
It was only a 6-yard punt because a guy touched it. It might have been a negative
punt. Let's talk about things that the listeners have no idea what you're talking about.
This is my favorite, the one that went like three rows deep
into the crowd.
Anyway,
and the guy kept it.
So it's the Las Vegas Bowl last night, Freddie. It's football.
So we'll have the.
I'm sorry.
Some of us prospect research.
Thank you, Andy.
So we'll have the picks at 1:30 today.
I crossed the Oregon State punter off my list for
also,
some possibilities.
I crossed the Oregon State quarterback off my list for any possibility because he stinks.
Sorry, listeners.
But Unga Bunga is on my list.
I apologize.
All if right. you want a big bruising back, I like
you
it.
You
want
to turn their mics off, Fred?
We could.
All right, Freddie, go ahead.
We will have the annual Christmas poem today from Dan Heffron.
Have you practiced?
No, but
his iambic pentameter.
Yeah, you need to, you know, cue up with the.
Well,
music
I really can't go with that because the rhythm is kind of off on a little bit of it. So I'm just going to read it, and I'll do my best. And
sometimes
Doc
your
has,
best.
Doc has done a little production for that. So what time are we going to do that? About 1?
Yeah, we'll do it after the 1 o'clock break.
At top of the hour.
I didn't know we took a 1 o'clock break.
We don't usually, but apparently he wants you to today.
All right, so you said Bill was short, and he was just talking about Jacksonville.
It just ended,
much.
And he said, yeah. What are you guys, working on your Christmas lists? Like, kind of looking all around the room, and There was nothing, so that was he made a couple jokes and walked out.
Wasn't I mean there was
happy holidays and walk out.
Four, five, six questions about Jacksonville and their personnel, and that was about it. One question about Tully Bantakane that I can recall. I don't really remember anything else that was.
Well, the clinching of the division. Somebody tried to tiptoe into. I know you know it's 1 week at a time, but this week you can achieve one of your goals and clinch the division. And he said, yeah, we're very much aware of that.
Very aware of that.
You know, other games are important all year long, but this time you can actually complete that goal, clinch the division. So very much acknowledge
that. I don't think that's looking ahead. That is this week.
I know. I just thought it was funny that we're so beaten down that the person tiptoed into it kind of.
Yeah. He actually addressed what I was talking about.
Right. But now's the time.
Yep.
It's like asking, you know, if the Super Bowl is the biggest game of the year. It is, because it's the next one, and it's the Super Bowl, so he'll answer that question.
And, you know, in case anyone's interested, a very fiery PFW TV is available now on Patriots.com if anyone wants to.
Fiery?
I thought we were doing a lot of arguing.
Oh.
I was talking over people.
Yeah, that's true. I was doing a lot of.
Who told you that?
Shaking my head.
Some emailer, I don't know.
An emailer criticized Andy for that.
Oh.
And well, I should point out, an astute emailer criticized
Andy
for that.
That's what you do.
You got the ass part right. Not sure about the toot. Ass toot. That word just took on a whole new meaning to me.
He's unbelievable.
Astute is an ass toot. Did you notice Bill said their receivers have a lot of balls?
Yeah, I did. And I was wondering if Jason had that one cut up yet.
Can you get that?
Yeah, I'll get it.
Their receivers have a lot of balls.
Where's Eric?
He goes out to
practice.
Speaking
of lack of balls.
Practice is until 1 o'clock.
Right. He goes up, puts the update up,
goes
out to practice.
I made the comment to him. I'm like, you should be in the studio for the poem today. Practice isn't until late. He goes, I can't. I'm like, why? What's the big deal?
He does have a big week this week. Because he had a feature.
But it's done.
Commentary and first
down. He
did
what he should do, and he got it
and
done.
And a pulse story. And he also is responsible for the daily updates.
Brett Favre on 1st and 10, getting a pass from the media.
They're asking that, if it's true.
Well, if you're asking
it's possibly true.
If
there's an element of truth to it, right?
We argued about this yesterday.
We also took an informal poll in the locker room, and
we win.
People here think that he gets a pass?
Yeah.
What, by I say informal, we asked two people. They both agreed
Look,
with us.
All I can tell you is my perception. I think he gets just as much criticism.
For his play. That's it.
No, for his whole demeanor and selfishness. Mm-mm. Absolutely.
Well, I mean...
I mean, that's been a story for 2 years now.
No, but you're missing... Well, what Andy and I are talking about and what you're talking about are two different things. You're talking about his whether or not he's going to play, holding a team hostage, going back and forth. I'm talking about he's decided to play, and his demeanor within his own locker room is divisive.
To me, that's all the same.
That's
thing.
Not all the same. Show me someone who's writing that he's tearing a team down like Terrell Owens does.
Well,
because that's what he's done. This is 3 years in a
row
to three different teams.
Until now, they were 11-3 or whatever the record is. Now they've lost and starting to lose, and you will see.
And up until the beginning of this month last year, they were 8-3 and rolling along. And no one wrote about it afterwards. It was all a health-related thing. He had a torn bicep muscle. He couldn't get the ball downfield. It's all physical with him. When it goes bad for Brett Favre, it's physical. He's an old man. He can't hold up over a 16-game season. I think there is a lot of Terrell Owens in Brett Favre.
Well,
I have yet to see anybody write that.
I agree.
I have yet to see anybody really write that, except for Mike Felger.
See, I do. But I'd be interested, and this is just me. Again, I think I agree with everything you're saying, but I think it's all rolled up to one. I think that he's had the same criticism for what you're talking about and from what I'm talking about. You know, ESPN, forget about them and Mike and
forget
Peter
about
King.
NFL Network. Forget about Peter King. So, in other words, forget about all of the nationally known football analysts.
No,
which are also the outlets that criticize T.O. and Randy Moss.
And if you want to go by that, I'll agree with you. I think there's probably individual guys on beats around the league that have written this. I think there's probably Shalice told us about a guy.
Paul Domowicz in our
Green Bay.
Wildy.
Didn't Paul Domowicz write about it last year?
About him being a divisive force in the locker room? No, I think he wrote about
Tavares Jackson
couldn't make a pass. He got picked off by Asante Samuel, and that wouldn't happen to Brett Favre, despite the fact that Brett Favre has thrown more interceptions in the last 5 years than anybody in football, which is an example of how I think the nice, good old white boy is immune to criticism. I think there's an element of race to this.
And we asked some people of color, and they agreed with us that there's an element of race at play.
I don't know. I must be just listening to the different people than you, but
yeah,
I think it's probably just as many people have criticized him for all these things as backed him up.
Nope.
Okay. No, but that's just my perception. Like, I don't feel...
You know when I think he gets criticized? I think he gets criticized in Green Bay when he leaves.
See, I don't like it.
He gets criticized in New York when it's over. But he never gets criticized nationally because he's always the hard, you know, for the love of the game, Brett Favre.
See, I don't like him. And so I would think that I would be sensitive to the fact that he doesn't get enough criticism because I criticize him.
See, and I kind of like him. But I think he gets a pass because he's a white quarterback.
I don't really have strong feelings for the person either way. I just think he's a very divisive. I think he's a me-first guy. I think there are so many similarities between him and T.O. And you just mentioned that you think it's about 50-50. Well, is the T.O. coverage 50-50?
No.
No, it's like 99 to 1.
100% against him.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that you're kind of proving my point.
Yeah.
And I also don't think that it's 50-50, but I'll grant you that it's 50-50. I don't think it's 50-50 on Moss. I don't think it's 50-50 on T.O.
Well, I think it's probably 8. Yeah, I think it's not quite as bad as T.O. There's some people that defend Moss, but not as many that criticize him. You know, it's just that...
Because he hasn't been
as divisive.
You know,
it's just that Favre had 10 years of just playing football, as far as we know. And then all this stuff has happened as he got older in Green Bay... You know, once they drafted Aaron Rodgers, that's when the trouble started. You know, they were looking to the future, and Brett didn't like it.
But you're looking.
And I also didn't like, and I know I get into dangerous waters here because you never can say what a man is thinking, but I just got bad feelings about when his wife was diagnosed with cancer, and I got bad feelings when his father died about what was really important to him. You know, like he just kept playing, and everyone was like, oh, look at him. You know, he's such a warrior. You know, he just plays football, and... You know, he's able to – well, I think he's able to because that's all that he cared about. But that's dangerous, and I that's not a fact. That's just a feeling that I got.
But we're talking
about selfish.
More the stuff that he does whatever he wants, basically.
Yeah.
That he changes meeting times or shows up late or says, you know, sorry, I couldn't make it, or has his own, you know, separate locker room, essentially, aside from the rest of the other 52.
Who's worse, him or Barry Bonds?
The worst person?
Yeah, I mean, like
Bonds.
Barry Bonds.
But I think it's a good comparison. It's going down the road we're talking about. Barry Bonds, Terrell Owens, and Randy Moss are one thing. Brett Favre is something else.
From what I've heard, seemingly equally bad teammates.
Yeah.
But a worse person, I would say Barry Bonds. Brett Favre seems like a pretty genuinely nice guy.
But you think Brett Favre is lumped in with Barry Bonds, Terrell Owens, and Randy Moss?
No, you mentioned the separate locker room, and the first thing I thought about was when Barry Bonds used to have his chair and no one was able
to go
near
it. But that's my point. Yeah. No one thinks of Brett Favre that way.
Yeah.
No. And I think racism is at play.
I'll give you an example. Was it 2006 we played Green Bay in Green Bay, I believe, and Felger was telling us about, remember the weekend that it was the weekend that hunting season opened up there. Now, we don't really know much about that because hunting's not part of our culture here in New England. But in Green Bay, Wisconsin, evidently, that's a big thing. And Felger said, I'll guarantee he will have the sloppiest game that you'll ever see because he did zero preparation this week because all he was prepared for was the opening of hunting season. And sure enough, I think he was like 0 for his first 5 or 6, threw a couple of picks and ended up hurting his elbow and leaving the game. It was a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and this was not 2020 hindsight. This right. is a guy who was pretty close to watch. I mean, that's his team. He loves the Packers.
Yeah, he's from Wisconsin.
He's a part owner.
Yeah.
He is. He's got one of those stock things on his wall.
So, all right. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And on the phone right now is Tyrone from Delaware. Tyrone, how you doing?
Hey, man. How you fellas doing? I want to wish everybody and you guys and everybody in New England a happy Merry Christmas, man.
You too.
You too. Back
Thank
at you.
You.
All right. I don't want to hit on that Brett Favre thing too fast, too long, but I will say that Paul is dead on. Andy, you're right also in a way. Some people in the media picked on to Brett Favre and say that he's selfish, but it's not an overall theme like with Terrell Owens and Randy Moss. The similarities are there, but it's not an overall theme that they're selfish or whatever. They're me first guys. It's not an overall theme for Brett Favre. So that's why he's been able to get away. And plus, he's a quarterback, so that also helps that helps him along also.
Yes, I agree with you. I don't think it's – I don't really know. And I'm not a great expert on the whole race thing and when race is involved and when race isn't. It's just, to me, that card gets played a lot, and this just reeks of it to me, and I haven't really heard anybody say it. I need Jason Whitlock to write a column on it. He seems to be the guy that really...
Oh, yeah, he was the perfect guy. On my Patriots. Andy, last time I called, as soon as I hanged up, you said on the phone that you was tired of people bashing Belichick because, you know, he's saying he was a bad coach or whatever the case may be. And when you said it, I don't know if he was referring to me, but I thought about it. I said, you know what? I wasn't saying it. I wasn't saying that, but I had about 2 weeks to think upon it. And I'm going to tell you why I would go there. I think, I don't know if he lost it, but something not right. And I'm going to give you perfect examples. Sam Aiken, right? He's a guy, they doing these routes when these go routes. But might as well, you know, I think Sam Aiken is a guy, he reminds me of Hines Ward. I think his game is going across the middle. And besides that fluke catch in Miami, most of his plays was across the field, the one Tampa Bay when he went across the field, crossing route, touchdown. And he had a big play against Baltimore. I think in the third quarter, and in New Orleans. I think that's his game, and I think they're using him wrong. If you're going to do that, just let him go routes. Might as well you have somebody that fast create separation and do that. If that's how our offense come to. I mean, another thing I'm looking at, the thing with David Thomas. Did you guys watch that Saints game against the Cowboys couple days ago?
No, we were down in
Buffalo.
Buffalo. They didn't have the NFL Network down there.
Well, I watched the game with a friend of mine. He's a Steelers fan. And I'm watching the game, right? And David Thomas is catching balls. Like, every five pass, Drew Brees throw, David Thomas catching ball. And my friend say, yo, didn't that dude used to play for you guys?
Yeah.
I didn't want to say nothing.
Yeah, I was surprised, Tyrone, when they got rid of him, but I guess they looked at blocking as what they wanted out of their tight ends this year for some reason.
And they tried him there. If you remember in camp, he was blocking a lot. He was at fullback a lot in motion, doing the Ben Watson, you know, the motion into the blocking. So maybe I thought he did a decent job in camp, I recall, but apparently they weren't comfortable with that aspect of his game.
I didn't like that move.
Marco, whenever we let go somebody, they always perform better in another team. Now,
ain't that a kick in the head?
Yo, I'm telling you right now, I do not want to play the Steelers. When I heard Galloway got signed, I cringed. I said, oh, wow.
So did your friend.
I don't know about that.
Oh, no.
He should have, because Galloway stinks.
Yeah, the Steelers, I mean, what Tomlin did was a clear sign, and he admitted it, that he's not happy with his defense right now. And without Polamalu, I really do think, as much as we used to say that Harrison was the heart and soul of this defense, Polamalu is the heart and soul of that defense.
Yeah,
they're
no
a
doubt.
Different defense without him. They're not getting the production that they used to from that position. And, you know, I think Roethlisberger is playing out of this world, obviously, but they're not the same defense that we were scared, that earned the respect of the Patriots, I think, over the years.
Right, the secondary isn't good.
Yeah. But like I said, I don't want to face him. One more point before I go. We got this kid, I think Darnell Jenkins, on the practice squad.
Yep.
You know, I think if you're going to do that with Aiken, like I said, I'm saying to myself, Aiken is a guy. He reminds me of Hines Ward. Why don't you sign this guy? Because we got like 8 linebackers on our squad. We got a lot of linebackers. Pierre Woods. I mean, he's a good guy. I saw that piece with his broken down truck. That was he seems like a good guy. But I think our answer, you know, we're not that far from opening this offense. I think if we get a wide receiver and with some speed, that would help the whole offense. offense in general.
Oh.
And that would just give space to the whole field. It's just like basketball. When you got a penetrator like a Dwayne Wade or LeBron James.
Yeah.
And if you got shooters, you make LeBron James' job or Dwayne Wade's job easier.
Sure.
And I think that's just bad coaching. I think the arrogance of, you know, I don't want to be harping at this point, but I don't understand why we're wasting time transferring quarterbacks to wide receivers. We should just go. I think we go get a wide receiver. I don't think say we're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think we're going to make some noise.
No, I and they agree with you. I mean, like we all know, they thought Joey Galloway was going to be that guy, and
they screwed up.
And they screwed up. He couldn't do it mentally, and now we'll see. You'll see in the offseason they will go after a wide receiver. I guarantee.
Well, I hope so. Because I don't know if Belichick gave up on the season, but just man, it doesn't seem right. But you guys just take it easy, man.
Okay,
right,
Tyrone.
Thanks, Tyrone.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
Tyrone from Delaware, writing in. Hey,
are you worried about Joey Galloway if we play Pittsburgh in the playoffs?
No.
He might give him all the schemes that he couldn't pick up. You know,
I don't think
in his 8 months.
I'd like him to try because whatever he says will probably be inaccurate.
I just wanted to address. He kept referring to Sam Aiken as Hines Ward.
Hines Ward is a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
I agree that he's a big physical guy, and Hines Ward plays a physical game. But Hines Ward is a true receiver. He has very good hands and he's quick. He runs a lot of these Welker type, go inside and then drift to the outside, little things underneath. Aiken is not that polished a receiver.
No, it's
you can see it. He's a physical body. He's big, but
you can see the difference between how Aiken goes after the ball and how Hines Ward goes after the ball. Hines Ward is, like you said, he's a receiver. He goes after with his hands. He's confident. He uses his body well. Aiken kind of needs to be open. You know, aside from that catch in Miami, which bounced off the guy's head and he caught it and all that stuff, he really needs to have, some clearance around him to get his
hands. And I don't think he's a good enough route runner that you're going to run all these underneath routes for him.
There's nothing wrong with Sam Aiken. No. People think, a lot of people here forget, he's been in the league for like 6 years.
As a special teamer.
As a special teamer.
In two places.
Right.
There's a reason. These people are smart. They're not all idiots.
I agree with everything that you're saying. I do think that he may be better served in a more of an underneath role.
I do, too.
Because I think that's the few plays that he's made this year have been crossing routes that he turns upfield into big yardage.
Yep.
But I agree with Andy. You can't ask him to run a lot of different precise routes. We talked about that yesterday because I just don't think he's that savvy of a receiver. He hasn't played a lot of receiver.
I think if you run those underneath routes, you'll get a play. You're just as likely to get a tipped ball interception or a fumble, or I just don't have a lot of confidence making him some possession guy over the middle, and I'd be scared.
By the way, hey, Paul, Brian says aloha.
His seventh year, by the way, and in 6 years he caught 27 passes.
I'd also like to see him, North Carolina State?
North Carolina.
I'd like to see his college tape to see if he was big and kind of stiff, because he was productive. And I'd like to see what he looked like.
Was he productive in college?
Yeah. He had decent numbers for a college receiver.
Brian
in Hawaii says aloha to Paul. He says, I was at the Northeastern basketball game yesterday.
Oh, nice. Loser.
And going to see them again in a couple hours, you're
loser.
Missing a good tournament.
Loser.
I wish I was there.
Is in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Why don't you drive?
If they had a bridge, he would.
To watch him lose another excruciatingly close game.
Tracy at first. Tracy's in Vegas.
Hello, Tracy. Were you at the Vegas Bowl?
She at first said that she agreed with me about Favre, but then she corrected herself and said Favre does get a pass. He's selfish. I have to turn off the TV when his commercials come on. I can't wait till he goes away. So,
146 catches for 2,205 yards and 15 touchdowns at North Carolina.
That's a lot of college production.
In 2002, he was an All-ACC second-team choice. And was the offensive MVP, and he set a single-season record for a school record, I should say, 68 catches for 990 yards, four touchdowns.
I'd like to see, can we call ESPN Classic and put one of those games on?
So
I don't know.
Fred, that's a lot of production at the college level.
Yeah. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Rob from Boston's on the phone. Rob, how you doing? Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas. How are you doing?
Good.
Third round pick.
Let me start by saying this is my first time calling, so this is pretty exciting.
Okay.
We're all thrilled.
Try to keep it,
easy.
What?
It's his first time.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of my listen.
I want to make a mess.
One of my favorite things to do, and I'm in school in North Carolina, in college in North Carolina, and my favorite things to do is I got a Patriots bong and I blaze and listen to PFW.
Nice, nice. Token it up, listening to PFW in progress. I like it.
There's not enough Patriot fans down there.
I don't condone this sort of talk.
Panthers. Fans are just listen. If you had to deal with Panthers fans, you'd be blazing up too. Let me tell you. I want to get back to what you guys were saying about
deal with Fred.
So you have a Patriots bong,
Fred.
Bong.
Is that sold in the pro shop?
Is it officially licensed?
We sell that. Does Ken Flanders? That would explain a lot about Ken Flanders.
What is wrong with you?
Smokey's smoke shop in Boston.
Oh, Fred was taking him back. He wanted to talk football. Rob, call back. That was Jason. He apologizes.
Because I should have blown him up earlier, but I was on the phone having a conversation with him.
Why not?
Okay, Rob, call back and don't say bong and just talk football, even though Fred actually lured you into more bong talk.
See the Mayweather-Pacquiao fights off?
Yeah, sure it is.
What's the big deal? You know, the kid's doing what he does. Nothing to do with us.
It's against the law.
So,
he says.
All right, webradio@patriots.com.
He's back. Get him back on the air.
Is the email? Is Rob back?
That was quick.
Rob's back. Oh, sorry about that, Rob.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I was saying, I think it's, with black athletes, I think it's an unconscious thing by the media because, you look at Favre and Cutler. They're characters. They're, Jay Cutler's a joke. He's a clown. And but they're just, they're observing them as if they're athletes. And I feel like it's with T.O. and Randy, it's they want to build them into a character or something, I think there's definitely a small double standard there.
I think they want to vilify him when it's T.O. and Moss. And you're right, it's more clowny or endearing in some way when it's Cutler or Favre or... You know, it's funny that Cutler has this, supposed drinking problem and Favre had a supposed addiction problem. I don't think it would be funny.
What's a supposed problem with Favre?
I want to cover my legal basis. I don't think they would treat it the same way if it was Owens and Moss. There's like some hate there, some underlying hate.
Yeah. And one of the examples that was brought up in the locker room when we were talking about this.
Michael Vick.
Well, that anybody would have gotten killed for that.
Before the dog fighting, he was like, marijuana in the water.
Yeah, he got caught in the airport with the secret compartment.
We're back to the bong again.
But I thought he kind of got away with that. I actually thought that Vic was...
That was kind of downplayed.
Yeah, I think Vic had a pretty charmed life up until, the dog fighting.
Yeah.
But the example that was brought up, in a couple of years, if Donovan McNabb decides he's going to retire... And the Eagles are going to turn it over to Kevin Cobb. And then 3 months later, he decides he's coming back. It will not be treated the same way Brett Favre was in the media.
It's also Philadelphia versus Green Bay, Paul.
Forget about Philadelphia. This has nothing to do with the local media.
This is a national
It's a national
thing.
Story.
I've always wanted
it's not
to be
going
to
be this cute little thing where you make skits out of it on Saturday Night Live where Brett Favre's coming back. No, he's not. Oh, what are we going to do on ESPN? We're going to have a commercial. One lantern in the window if he's coming back, two if he's not. It's not going to be treated like that if it's Donovan McNabb. It'll be much more vicious.
Yeah. And I think McNabb, this is a little sidetrack here, but McNabb's career kind of reminds me of Bledsoe's career.
Very similar.
Good quarterback.
I totally agree with you.
And great numbers if you look at some of the numbers.
Better numbers than Drew, but a very similar career, I agree. Right. A good quarterback, not a great one.
Right. He can't get over the hump. He can't get over that,
And he's the reason they can't get over the hump,
in my opinion.
I think McNabb is more of a cerebral quarterback.
Oh,
my God.
Now is when you really just want me to throw a 2-liter off your skull.
The booze?
What do you guys think of Maroney?
Let me everywhere I go.
What's that?
What do you guys think of Maroney? I think, my dad hates him, hated him probably the most before, the last couple of three games. He's looks like a different running back, I think.
Well, I think he's getting more opportunities, and I think, mentally, I think they've worked with him. I really do think that they've...
Well, they have. I mean, Bill sits down with him.
Yeah, and not just Bill, but I think Ivan Fears, and I think that they've consciously identified one of his problems, and we've said it, it's a mental thing.
Have you physically seen differences?
No.
Because I haven't.
I think he's gotten more carries, personally.
He's gotten more carries, the production's been up.
Because I just think when he's had the 7-yard loss or the 4-yard loss, they haven't just put him aside and said, you're not getting any more carries.
If the 7-yard loss...
He's getting his 20 carries a game. But I think that's one of the reasons
why they're willing to give him more opportunities is because they are a little bit more confident in him.
I think they need to run the ball to win games. They're going to grind it out, and he's the guy right now.
And at the same time, when they needed to do that, he was the only guy available.
Right.
He's pushing forward for that extra, you know, like that extra couple of yards. Like he's carrying people on his back.
He always tried. I think he's always been a high-effort guy. I've never really questioned. But my question of him has been his toughness, his durability.
Right.
Can he fight through an injury? And evidently, because running back at this time of year, he's not healthy.
Right.
He's fighting through injuries this year. And I think that he's showing a toughness that I think – we haven't seen in the past, and I give him a lot of credit for that. And I think part of that is what he's getting from Bill Belichick in his little one-on-one talks. But in terms of his physical running style, I really haven't seen a tremendous difference.
More carries.
It's more carries. He's played well.
He's averaging 3.9 a carry. It's no great transformation.
The numbers aren't. I mean, someone talked
his
about.
Numbers are down.
I heard someone call up one of my local talk shows last week and say he's going to be a 1,000-yard back, and I'm like, yeah, if he averages about 300 yards the rest of the – I mean, not even close to 100
yards,
is he?
He needs
He would have needed over 100 yards in his last three games to get close
to
it.
I mean, to even get close.
Well, he can get there. He's at like 730, so
he'd have to be incredible.
250-yard games, he'll be there.
Right.
Well,
you think Belichick
two career highs, and he'll get there.
What?
You think Belichick, you know, the reason why, you know, he kept coming back is – you know, he might have saw this coming, this sort of different running style, this what they've been working with him with.
But I think we've seen this all along. In 07, the end
of
the year,
flashes.
It was the same thing. Yeah. He knew it was there, and he knew if he gave him 20 carries, he'd probably get 90 or 100 yards, but that he wasn't the guy that you build an offense around, and I think that's what they thought they drafted, a guy that could be a key.
I think they need to give it to him more. I think the biggest problem is Brady's I think they need to give it to Maroney more often. I think from what I've seen, and it's just this offense isn't balanced.
But he got 22 carries or 23 carries against the worst run defense in football
and
averaged 3.9 a carry, got 80 yards. How many more times you want to give it to him? You're going to lose a game just to give him the ball.
We're going to lose the game by throwing interceptions in the end zone, and you know.
So you really want to cut ties with Brady, and he's going to throw interceptions if you give him too many chances.
I don't want to cut ties with Brady.
You are high.
I'm not high, first of
what
all.
What about fumbles in the end zone? Do you lose games because of those?
Okay, his fumbling thing had only been a problem this month. This past month.
Well,
that wasn't a historic problem. So I'm
gonna
give him a
pass. In fairness, his production thing has only been a positive for a month.
And I don't even think it's been a positive. 3.9 a carry is not some great, wow, he finally gets it.
I'm not advocating.
Against the worst run defense in football.
I'm not advocating shelving the running game. I like what they've done. They've
he is
run
who
the
he
ball.
Is.
They've
yeah,
run the ball a little
Andy,
bit more.
Forget about the numbers. Look at him. Don't you see?
No, I don't.
No,
I see more carries.
But that's my point.
That's all I see is more carries.
I don't see a change in his running
very
style.
Very stubborn.
Why are we stubborn?
Because I think that he's been playing better the last 6 weeks.
So why are we the ones that are stubborn when we see one thing, you see another, and we're being stubborn?
Because I think majority of people agree with me.
I see what I see. More carries. That's all I see.
He's making better cuts. His vision looks better. Everything about him looks better.
So why is he not averaging a lot of yards a carry? Why is his average probably the lowest he's had in his career?
I think it is.
I think because we're not – I just think it's not – we're not –
you take the Bills game, for example. You know, we had about two carries, you know, on the goal line that, you know, were right on the goal line, so you're not going to have a good average there.
Yeah. What about the other 21?
At the end of the game, well, if he had all those, Paul, he'd have a 1-yard average. So he must have – at the end of the game, you know, they tried to run out the clock, but I think the Bills did a pretty good job. They were geared up for that. They knew that the Patriots are going to run.
So it's not realistic to expect them to average 4 yards a carry against the worst
the
run
The carries
defense
are not
football.
Evenly placed through the game.
They
started out the third quarter by passing the ball. They didn't even give him the ball.
He had 10 carries in the first half and 13 in the second half.
Yeah, and a lot of those, like I said, came at the end when the Bills knew all the Patriots wanted to do was run. They weren't evenly split
throughout
the game.
But yet on the last possession of the game, they threw the ball.
Right, because the Bills were just gearing up for the run.
So they threw it.
Look, you're just not being fair.
No, you're not being accurate. You know, whether it's fair or not, we can disagree as to what we think we see. That's fine. But to sit there and slough this off as the other team is gearing up to stop the run so he can't get yards, that's the worst run defense in football. Everybody else has found a way to get 170 yards against that team.
Look, I'm telling you, Maroney's been playing better over the last 6 weeks.
Because he's gotten more carries. His production is up. I agree.
You can say that, you know, he's the same guy he always was.
I didn't say that. I said his running style hasn't changed.
I think he's the same guy.
So what you're saying is if they had given the same amount of carries beginning of the year or last year as they are now, he would have had the same production.
Yes.
If he had 22 carries against a bad run defense, I think he'd get 80 yards pretty much every game.
I think if he got the same amount of carries all year, he'd be looking at 1,200, 1,300 yards.
Oh.
Because the production
would be up.
Then I guess
he's a feature back because that's pretty good.
But no. Feature backs average 5 yards a carry. Chris Johnson averages over 5 yards a carry. That's a feature back.
Chris.
Not 3.8.
Now you're comparing him to the best back in the league.
Okay. Who do you want to compare him to? The guys that was drafted behind him?
I don't know.
D'Angelo Williams?
Compare him to the
just a solid running back.
Yeah.
Like, I think
he's a dime a dozen running back is what he is.
And if he gets he's going to have bad games, but if he gets more carries, we might see more consistency.
See, one of the things you're not seeing from him that tilts it in the other way is that breakaway run, that one run for 40 yards,
yeah, I agree with
instead
that.
Of the
I
three
agree
runs
that.
At the 1 yard line that skews the average the other way.
I take that as a negative because I think if you gave Sammy Morris 23 carries, he'd have 80 yards. I don't think he's capable of the 45 yarder.
Well,
and Lawrence Maroney's not hitting the 45 yarders anymore.
Right. Well, anymore. But
you know how you become a great back? If you get your 23 carries and you average your 4 yards a carry and throw in the 45 yarder because now the 82 becomes 100
right.
And 35, and that's a very good game.
And why do we sit there and say that the numbers are skewed because he has, as you keep adding a number, adding a carry on the goal line? Now it's 3 1-yard runs on the goal line, which, by the way, I don't understand why he's precluded from getting in the end zone in the first try from the one, but evidently he is.
He's got to do it,
So why is that? But
the different levels of...
Why do those numbers skew the average, but the 50-yard run against Tennessee doesn't skew the average the other way?
As far as I'm
it's all part of the package. When you have a season when you had 200-plus carries, it's an average. That's what the stat is.
I know.
And for the season, he's averaging less than 4 yards a carry, which makes him a dime-a-dozen running back.
The biggest problem with this offense has been, Galloway not working out. That's really just...
I agree with that.
You know, it's just ruined everything. It just... Brady's never looked... he's been fine NFL standards, but he's not Tom Brady. He's not, it just hasn't worked out the way we had hoped. And I think it's affected even the running game. It's affected all parts of the offense because they're just not clicking the way we're used to. But then again, we're used to Tom Brady throwing 50 touchdowns. So,
I'm not used to it. I'm used to him throwing 28 because that's what he generally throws every year.
All right, Rob, thanks for the call. That's Rob in Boston. Keep on trucking. All right.
Keep on keeping on.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel. Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
I was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member FDIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast plan and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Yeah, you better watch out. You better not try. You better not bow. I'm telling you why.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Taking calls, taking emails. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
Then that's when they smoke it.
We'll be doing the Christmas poem in 10, 15 minutes or so. Preston from Brockton writes in, just wanted to state that I agree with you on the Aiken talk. They should stop going downfield with Aiken and just let him help out with the underneath routes. He's a big body and can cause matchup problems for the defense, and not to mention he gets yards after catch. They should really change up his routes and plant him in a role that allows him to get the ball in his hands and make plays, maybe even some wide receiver screens. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that. They've used tight end screens successfully with Watson and Graham over the years. I would like to see him use a little bit more like a tight end, a slot receiver slash tight end. Oh. You know, you take advantage of the big body because I do think he fights for the ball to get open, whatever. I mean, he has the ability to fight, but I'm not sure he's at his best when it's just bombs.
Yeah,
I mean, even though he's hit on him.
I have a hard time with the whole Aiken thing because I really think he's one of those players that you really need. And he's giving you everything he's got. There's nothing I could argue and say, gee, Sam Aiken's really letting him down. I think he's doing everything. He's giving you every ounce of ability that he has. He's giving you.
Yep.
It's just he's miscast. He's being asked to do things that I don't think that are his strengths. Let's put it that way.
Yemi from Texas says, Paul's wrong. Crack ribs can get better. McNabb missed, I think, 3 games earlier this year, and he got better. He's playing his best football right now. So there.
Okay.
Paul's not a doctor.
I'm going to repeat what I said. They're not going to get better in a week. Which, the argument of whether or not you rest him against Houston so he could play the next week in the playoffs.
What if you get a bye?
He has a week to get better. I don't think he will get better.
Stripper says
Donovan McNabb is not playing his best football.
Strippers wants to know if we will regularly visit TMZSports.com. They announced that they're going to be starting a sports
website.
Heard that.
He announced it on Maddie.
Now, what's the?
I'll only go there when I have to.
I will never go there.
But what's
I never,
the idea?
I never go there now.
It's gossip. Athletes, pro athlete gossip.
But off-field gossip or all gossip?
All gossip. You know, well, less to do with who's going to start on Sunday than who was out with who that
night.
So
it's not competing with, like, pro football talk?
No.
It's competing with just...
I think there'll be some overlap, but they're looking for the...
Salacious.
Yeah, that stuff.
Tiger type stuff.
I think it's a good idea for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I'm just not really... I'm not a huge TMZ guy. I don't go to those sites. I listen when people... You know, you usually tell me what's going on.
I'll tell you when I'll go. If there's a hot picture of a hot chick, you know, somebody with a hot chick,
I'll
be there.
You know, and strippers will send me the link.
Right.
And, you know, he usually comes through with
solid
stuff.
This is competition for the dirty.
Yeah.
The dirty. I don't think he's really associated with them anymore, so.
Yeah, he hasn't really talked about that lately.
Let's see. Michael from, I don't know where he's from.
Huntsville.
Anyway, he says, You guys are the best. Keep us Pats fans both well-informed and thoroughly entertained. Wish all the PFW family, including Christina, Bilo, and Chris Ferreira, happy holidays. May 2010 bring you success, happiness, and health to enjoy it all in. Another Super Bowl would be greatly appreciated, too.
That was Mike in Puerto Rico responding to the holiday card that was sent yesterday.
Oh, that looked different. His email looked different than it usually
Thanks,
does.
Thanks, Mike. But since when is Chris Ferreira part of the PFW in Progress family? I don't know.
You can pick your friends. You can't pick your family.
Yeah, that's...
That just proves it.
We can get him out.
Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
No, thanks, Mike. You too.
James writes in... Oh, this is a long... It's a long email, James, from Australia.
Wow. Fred.
Good day, Mike.
Short attention span, Fred.
Let's see. Doc, first of all, love
let's
the new sound
up.
Drops
break it up,
and
Fred.
Intro from The Hangover, one of the best movies this year. Allow me to break the negativity trend of your emails. We're winning, and to me, that's all that matters. The way I see it, winning in December and January is like dating in high school. You want them to be as pretty as possible, but in reality, you take what you can get as long as you can get the job done. If we win the next six games like the Buffalo one, I won't care because we'll get what we want, the Super Bowl title. I know it's not likely, but I'm still well and truly on board with this team and think they're capable of causing a shock or two in the big games. Anyway, moving on to the most important event of the week coming, the Jags game. I don't see why the team shouldn't beat the Jags. Every time we play them late in the season, we seem to have their number. And given our home form, that shouldn't change. Garrard will give the defense fits for the first half, getting a few good completions to Sims Walker, but then we slow them down. I think we finish in the three spot with Cincy stumbling into the postseason, take our first game against whoever gets the sixth seed, and then travel to San Diego. While I'm not optimistic about our chances over there, I'm not ruling anything out. After all, it is New England in January. If we do manage to upset them, I actually see them hosting the conference title game because, and I know this may sound ridiculous, but I'm not scared of Indy in the postseason. Under Dungy, and what's-his-face in charge now is not much different. They were regular season stars, but weak in the playoffs, and I see them getting upset by Baltimore, who will be in the five seed, especially if P-Head Manning rests the next couple of weeks. Maybe that's a best-case scenario, but I don't think I'm completely crazy to think this could happen. This AFC is full of a lot of closely matched teams, and anyone who makes the tournament could be a winner. One last question, but has the NFL announced what times the playoff games are for the AFC teams? I need to ask for time off work so I can watch any Pats games the Pats may yet. No, they haven't because they don't know what teams are going to be in yet.
Right.
So
interesting, though, all that stuff. It's all plausible.
Well, the thing that jumps out at me is, what's his record now? 14-0? What's his name coaching the Colts? I just feel bad. The guy could lead the greatest season in NFL history, and his name may never register on the radar
is
of that season.
Is he the coach
season.
Of the year, even?
No, because no one's going to say, that guy, Peyton. I'll go with Peyton, because I don't remember that guy's name.
Or this moron, Major Dad.
I mean, no one knows Jim Caldwell's name outside of the city of Indy, and in the city of Indy, they say he's a better coach than Tony Dungy, which I just feel bad for the guy. He's being overshadowed by his quarterback and the whole show. You don't feel bad for him?
Nope.
Why? You don't like him?
Because he's got Peyton Manning. That's why he's winning.
But Tony Dungy had Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and he won two.
He won one Super Bowl, and you could say underachieved more often than not.
Well,
they petered out when it mattered most.
I get,
and Caldwell could still peter out, but I feel bad for him a little bit.
I think he's happy. I think he's doing just fine.
Are you sure? Maybe he's... Guys, what about me?
I think
hey,
the less
guys.
Attention they pay on, they put on him, the better it is for him.
Is Brady a great quarterback?
Is he a great quarterback? I would say so, yes.
Is Belichick a great coach?
Yes, he is.
Oh, well, yes, Brady is a quarterback.
Right.
Well, you just dismissed Jim Caldwell because he has Peyton Manning as a quarterback.
Well, it's true.
No further questions, Your Honor.
It's true.
Bitch slapped by
you know, but
Matlock Perillo over
I,
here.
I believe that. I believe that Bill Belichick won a Super Bowl in Tom Brady's first year.
Right, but he had Tom
starting,
Brady.
And he wasn't a great quarterback back then.
Yeah, he was.
No, he was
MVP of the Super Bowl.
No, he wasn't great that whole year.
As you
look at his numbers,
as you say, as you
look
are,
at the numbers,
as you are wont to say, I deal in fact.
He managed the game.
I deal in fact.
I believe
Andy. Who won the MVP?
I believe it.
Who was the most valuable player on the field?
I believe
Tom Brady.
I believe
in the Super Bowl.
I believe
in 2001.
It took Peyton Manning. How many years before he won his first Super Bowl?
Well, that just proves my point. Jim Caldwell's
and,
a better coach because Peyton Manning
owned him. Who owned him when he was young?
Tom Brady
and Bill Belichick.
Tom Brady.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that Tom Brady played defense for the New England Patriots.
It's an early Christmas present for Andy.
All I'm telling you is you
does
just
Tom Brady play defense? Case closed. No. All right, let's get to the
Don't say stupid things like Jim Caldwell can't coach because he has a great quarterback.
Oh, that's what I said.
Yeah, you just dismissed him.
I said he can't coach.
What did you say, Andy? Do you feel bad for? No, he has Peyton Manning as quarterback.
I think life is pretty good for Jim Caldwell.
I'm just saying he's getting overlooked.
I think life is pretty good for him.
No one overlooked Bill Belichick in 07 when he went 16-0.
Okay,
was that his
first year inheriting a great team? I don't know.
And making them better than they were before he got there?
Come on, Paul.
I know. You know what? You're right. It's a terrible
coaching. Everything against Patriots.com.
Who's got more attention this year? Jim Caldwell or Rex Ryan?
Oh, yes, it is. If it was the verse, it would be. You'd be.
It doesn't have anything to do with the Patriots.
Verse.
If Jim Caldwell was the coach of the Patriots, and you'd be saying Bill Belichick doesn't get enough attention on the Colts.
You would say that he's not a good coach because he has Peyton Manning as his quarterback.
Right. Okay. Right.
Now, Paul, you do it.
Right.
Yes.
Why don't we take a break so you can get a drink of water and regroup?
No. We don't have time because we have to get to this and then we have to get the picks.
Okay.
Are you ready with your drops?
Your director or producer is not happy.
Will you stop with the picks nonsense?
What?
You should want the picks to be squeezed in a small window because
I want to get to some emails.
Let's do that. We have plenty of time to do that.
I have to do this.
If we have to do the picks in 5 minutes, we can do the picks in 5 minutes.
We can't really do that. That wouldn't be fair. And is Eric coming? We got to get a practice report.
Right. So that's why I don't.
We have a lot to do.
So what are you rushing for?
Well,
that's my thing.
I don't think we have time to take a break.
It's 1 o'clock.
I know, and we said we were going to do this at 1 o'clock. I'm adhering to the schedule.
Wow.
I also said after the 1 o'clock break, but that's fine.
Yeah, we've never done a 1 o'clock break.
We're supposed to. Did you listen to him?
I've been doing this show for 30 years, and we've never done a 1 o'clock break.
American Airlines wants a 1 o'clock break.
You're fine. We're ready whenever you are.
Okay, good. All right. So every year, Dan Heffron writes a poem based on The Night Before Christmas, and he takes notes all year. I don't know how he does.
He's the best.
All right. So here we go. Is there music?
He shook his head. No.
I guess not. All right.
He's been prepping for this at the top of the hour, but he didn't get music.
Can't play music. I was going to play music coming back from the break to lead into it because it's coming off the same machine. You don't understand. Continue.
I understand. What? You have more excuses than anybody I've ever met.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so this is Dan Heffron's poem. 'Twas the night before Christmas with the guys from PFW. That means it's time for my 8th annual season in review.
Wow, 8.
The biggest debate in PF history came in the offseason, 19-0 or Brady for 10 more years, and Fred told us the story of Dave Cowens giving him a case of beer.
I'm going to count the things I forgot. That's one.
Offseason departures were numerous, losing Harrison, Brusky, Hobbs, and Vrabel. Paul gave some people their business at Fuddruckers when they put their garbage on his table.
Woo! That's two.
In two surprising moves before week one, Seymour got traded and Greg Lewis was ditched. Because he was allergic to Preparation H for 8 months, Andy's butt itched. All the changes were designed to make the defense younger and faster, but it made Paul's attempts to predict the roster an unmitigated disaster.
I resign.
It was.
With all of the offseason changes, the Pat system would probably need some tweaks. Eric didn't get anything for his birthday last year. Reminder, his next one's in a couple weeks.
Happy birthday, Eric. 29, was looking
that,
good.
That's to make
issue?
Up for some of the Eric items coming up later. the Pats started with a scare against Buffalo, but they came back to win it in the end. Fred told Eric, if you go to the beach by yourself, you should bring a friend. Really should. You look like a loser if you sit there by
if
yourself.
You go to the beach by yourself.
If you bring a friend, you look like a gay loser.
The Pats lost to New York in week two, and the offense looked a little bit dead. Fred bumped into Michael Douglas there, but didn't understand what Douglas said.
Blah, 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 blah.
I forgot about that, too. When the Pats had a 2-1 time of possession, the Falcons didn't have a shot. A big debate early in the year was if lettuce wedges are good or not.
You want to eat my salad?
The Patriots played a tough game against Baltimore while several players wore pink. Fred wouldn't like Megan Fox because he thinks her toe-shaped thumb would stink. But she did look good in that Transformers thing. My goodness.
The Transformers 2?
The movie, yeah.
Yeah, she's hot.
The Ravens didn't like
skank.
The Ravens didn't like the calls, and after the game had a lot to say. Eric bombed in front of 8th graders at school for career day.
It's funny. I didn't think Day would be the rhyme.
Joey Galloway was struggling and was definitely showing his age. Eric's controversy this year was his credit on a nudes model's webpage.
Yeah. This is what gets the moral majority upset. Like, you're right. Okay? This is what gets the moral majority upset. You know a model that you've, I don't know, at least on the periphery have worked with.
Yeah,
and he's telling you about this whole thing, and you get this blank look on your face. You have no idea what he's talking about.
I kind of. Well,
then all of a sudden you see the picture and you're like, oh, yeah, I know her.
Because
like,
he was.
Deny everything.
Like you know so many models.
Fat man.
And it does so much artistic work.
He was talking about this woman named Daisy May, which is a completely different name than I know
this girl. The point is, Eric, you have
how many naked models are giving you credit on their freaking website?
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Fine, that was the first time you ever came to my defense.
On the show, Andy asked Tracy in Las Vegas if he could see some nip, and Fred had a bizarre dream about Gino Capoletti's unit on his hip.
Hello.
The Pats lost to Denver in overtime, and fans began to criticize Tom. While Doc was away, Tomas had a soundbite with an unbleeped F-bomb.
You're f***ing drunk.
Josh McDaniel's celebration after the game caused Fred to blow his fuse. Paul had a two-week incident-free vacation this year, and he watched Northeastern lose.
It's true.
The next week, the Patriots welcomed back linebacker Junior Seau. Eric made some rule that we could only pick on things that were true, and that stopped the gay jokes. How?
Would you guys shut up, for Christ's sake?
The Patriots looked awesome against Tennessee, but the Titans' effort should be shamed. Here is the annual shout-out to the former PFW guys, Shane, Frank, Brian, Frank, and Tank, Mike, and some guy who will not be named. The Pats headed off to England, a much shorter trip than China. Jonathan Kraft scratched off a lottery ticket for a listener, and the guys gave it to Craig from Carolina. The Pats blew out the Bucks. Even Sam Aiken got in on the scoring spree. Eric was secretly jealous of Andy, who did an interview for the BBC.
From an American side of things, it's just a competitive fear that it could affect the season late in the mid-year. You lose a game in London that you could have played at home.
We were left to ponder if the Pats were as good as the blowouts, as bad as the losses, or somewhere in between. When Paul was a young 007, he brought milk to cover up buying eggs on Halloween. What is 007?
Bond. James Bond.
You were James Bond?
No, but I definitely did buy milk to cover up my eggs.
The Patriots beat Miami and shut up Big Mouth Joey Porter in a big way. Fred told us about how he almost pulled off a threesome in Tampa back in the day. The Sunday night game at Indy ended in heartbreak. Don't send in a seafood lunch for the guys because Paul would not partake. Belichick went for it on fourth down because he didn't think the defense had a chance. Paul had a problem with an appraiser who worked on his refinance. The Pats avenged their loss to the Jets when the Sanchez couldn't do squat. Sam in Illinois sent in some MP3s that sounded really hot.
PFW is the best Patriot talk show that I can listen to while relaxing in my West Waltham, Jersey.
The Pats went.
Been? Where have you been, man?
The Pats went to New Orleans for a Monday night game, and man, they took a shelling. And Andy threw off his headphones and walked out after being told to stop yelling. Another come-from-ahead loss. That's good.
That's
another
well
come-from-ahead loss to Miami gave lots of Pats fans hurtins. The show brought back the Urban Dictionary word of the day just to discuss beef curtains.
That's...
I missed that one.
The big midweek news was four players late for a meeting were shown the door. When talking with Shalise Young and Christine Acra, Eric mentioned that he'd never been with two women before.
Has this ever happened before?
There's, for me?
Like more women than...
No. Sadly.
The Patriots got back on track over the Panthers without Jake Delhomme, but with John Fox. If you want to do something good for yourself, Fred recommends cashmere socks. I do. After beating the Bills, the playoff push is back on. Another Super Bowl would be heaven. Even if Paul was called out by Mike in Puerto Rico and Andy was called out by Bad Kevin. So Merry Christmas to Paul, Andy, and Eric. Happy Hanukkah to Doc in the booth. Happy holidays to all of them. And to Fred, a new crown for his tooth.
Well done.
Very good.
He never disappoints.
Wow. That's copious notes.
Never disappoints.
Now, let's take a break.
just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks and game coon and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of 3 flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
I can't hear you.
Why not?
I don't know. I couldn't.
Is the mic on?
Now I can hear you.
What's the matter?
Apparently he pointed.
I didn't point at you yet.
Well, what are you waiting for?
I was waiting for the song to get into it.
Oh, boy. You're not a DJ. We asked you for music under bed to the poem, and you can't even do that. Now all of a sudden, you got to wait for the music to get going?
Told you to take the break. You didn't take the break.
Sean says...
and that just threw everything off?
It did.
You stink.
Paul, Sean wants to know, is it that time of the month for Paul? Wow, calm down.
When isn't it that time of the month?
Zach says, Doc, you have to save the argument about Caldwell and Manning. This should be one for the openers.
No,
it was entertaining.
Caldwell just can't coach. Has a great quarterback. He's not a good coach.
It's the worst 14-0 coach in NFL history.
Let's see. Tim in Baltimore says, sorry if you've already discussed this, but if the Pats win and the Chargers lose next week, do the Pats play all out against the Texans at 1 o'clock in the hopes that the Redskins beat the Chargers at 4? Or do you assume that the Skins will lose 65-0 and just rest Brady?
That's interesting. I hadn't really given that any thought.
It's a great question.
Because I do think that San Diego has a good chance to lose this week for a lot of reasons. I think playing Christmas night is a funny game to play. I don't really agree with it on the NFL's part, especially when you're doing it on a non-game night.
Yeah, but why bother? You know?
And
they'll get big ratings. People, you know, sitting around family parties will watch it.
I guess. I mean, maybe they will. I mean, it's... I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but will you watch?
I won't watch it, but I'm sure it'll be on.
Paul, if there's
like
NFL
the TV
on,
it,
but really on Christmas night, Fred?
Absolutely.
But will you watch it?
I won't.
The kids are worn out. They're
sacked
out. I like
to spend time with my family. I'm
sorry. But they're sleeping by then, Paul.
Your family?
By what's the game start at midnight?
Monitor Chief and Pawn.
By 7 o'clock on Christmas night, the kids are tuckered out.
My kids are playing with their stuff, and especially now that they're getting older, especially Will is really getting jacked up.
So
every single day he
asks
me.
They don't care.
Well, I need them.
No.
It's not that they don't need me. You're right. I need them.
You two are just going at it today. I love it.
And I'll admit that I'm being argumentative, but he's being ridiculous.
He's being kind of an a-hole today. I agree. On Caldwell, Maroney, and you and your kids, a-hole Kirsch.
Then what about the NBA? For years, they've had a game on Christmas Day. Are they wrong to have that? Nobody watches? Obviously, people are watching.
No. The TV is on. I don't think people watch.
I have never seen a second of a Christmas Day NBA game.
I haven't either.
I wouldn't watch an NBA
Honestly,
game unless
I
there's nothing
either,
else on
anyway. Apparently, that's a big game for them.
Because people put it on. They don't watch.
The only thing I
would watch a football game on Hanukkah.
The only thing
like a bowl week?
The difference for an NBA game is the NBA plays every night of the week. So they're not going out of their way to put a game on Christmas Day. The NFL doesn't play on Fridays.
Right.
They're going out of their way to put a game on. I think that's a little odd.
I think it's odd, too, but I still will watch.
I think it's particularly hard ratings, on San Diego having to travel on Christmas. You know, now they lose Christmas Eve. They lose Christmas Day. They're playing a game that really kind of doesn't matter that much to them. They can't catch Indy. They're probably going to win at home against Washington.
And I agree. It's odd. But I will watch.
I think they have a chance to lose this game.
If
they played Tennessee last week in Tennessee, I think San Diego will blow them out. But I think on Christmas night they have a chance to lose.
But that wasn't the question. Does the Patriots end of it? Would they play?
Yeah, I think they would. Okay. Yeah, sure.
I don't.
I don't either.
I think the rest would be the number one.
Brady's health to me is the key.
If you can get a number two seed somehow, that's huge.
But as he put it, or do you just wait for the Chargers to win 63?
I mean, I can't imagine Washington's going to have to show some pride after that game Monday night. But this is 2 weeks from now. It's not coming off that game.
I know.
It's 2 weeks from now. Yeah. And I just can't imagine that team on the last day of the season.
Either.
They no-showed on national television at home. I can't imagine them going across the country on the last day of the season and putting up much of an
effort. I was listening on the radio, and Boomer Esiason was like, this is pathetic.
It was. All the fans thought it was pathetic. Yeah. That's why they had a standing boo at halftime after that.
It was funny.
Debacle.
I was watching, and I think it was the third series. They went 3-and-out the first two series, and it was third and long. And Tirico said, the Redskins have run 8 plays for 2 yards. And as he's saying it, Campbell drops back and throws a bomb down the sideline that was woefully, overthrown. And he goes, 9 plays for 2 yards. I mean, right as the ball hit the ground, or whatever many yards they happen to have at that time.
That was
as uncompetitive a game. That was as uncompetitive as the Tennessee game here.
Yeah. Joel from Merrimack says, first off, Merry Christmas and keep up the great show. After watching the Maelstrom. Big storm.
Yes. Maelstrom.
That has been this season. I have been able to compile a Christmas/playoff wish list, and it reads as follows. 1, a copy of Tackling for Dummies for Brandon Merriweather, or perhaps a tackling dummy. Maybe he could bring that down successfully. 2. A copy of What Not to Say to the Media for Dalius Thomas. 3, a video copy of The Icky Shuffle for Lawrence Maroney. 4, a copy of The Beatles' All You Need Is Love for Randy Moss. 5, a copy of T.O. crying, he's my quarterback for the entire team. Everyone needs a laugh every now and then.
It's my quarterback.
A ticket to the Boston Museum of Fine Arts for Eric so he can see what real artists do.
That one hurt.
A copy of 7 Insights to Effective Speaking for Fred, no explanation needed.
He's got that mad look on his face.
A Stewie bobblehead for Andy. Once again, no explanation needed.
That's true.
A copy of Maintaining Your Composure in Adversity for Paul. A little light reading for the next time he's in the line at Babies R Us. So there's
Joel. Thank you, Joel.
Christmas wish list.
Excellent, Joel.
I think I'm more like a normal bobblehead, though, because my head isn't pointed like a football. It's a big block, like a bobblehead.
Yeah, and it is becoming passe to make fun of the size of your head, too.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't make fun of you for being fat every day.
You don't?
You do.
Oh.
Paul writes.
Bad example.
From London.
Why are the TVs going out intermittently across? Where's Eddie Mac?
Hey, guys, and Eric. I hope you all enjoy your holiday season, and that goes for all your families and Eric and his boyfriend. See, that's not right. That's not right.
What, that you read it?
Andy, I'm not sure if Doc has played the soundbite I've sent in yet, but hopefully you'll enjoy rubbing it in his face. I don't
no,
know.
No, I
that
won't.
Is.
I'm not Eric.
On to Fred's blog, since it has only been going
the BBC
this...
interview.
I get it. I can't take you seriously because when I look at you, all I see behind you is a massive set of jugs on that cheerleader calendar. So can you please move that?
Yeah, very distracting. Where I can see it. On to Fred's blog, since it has only been going this season, which past games do you wish the blog had been around for? Could you imagine Fred blogging at Super Bowl 36 with Vinatieri or 42 with Manning and Tyree? And I think the Chiefs game from last year would have been funny with all the doom and gloom after St. Thomas of Pigskin had his leg taken out.
2006 AFC title game. You would have, your computer
oh
would
God.
Have blown up. You would have blown up. It would have been, they would have been peeling you off the walls.
Oh, my yeah. God. Yeah, it gets rough. Finally, how many Patriots would be Pro Bowlers this year? My view, Brady as the third quarterback, Welker, Wilfork, and Bodden, though I consider Moss, Mankins, and Guskowski as reserves for their positions.
Wilfork, one. Brady, two.
Welker.
Welker, three.
I'm not sure after that. You think Bodden would make the Pro Bowl?
No.
Guskowski,
I don't
maybe?
Either.
You is know, Barona? I'll maybe, go with the names. Is Baronis having a good year? I'll just pick out a couple names.
He's missed a few lately, though. Is I don't know. His touchbacks are still up.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Touch,
a lot
he's
of
like
touchbacks.
Second. I think he's second in the league in touchbacks. Let me see if I can look up some scoring. Keep talking amongst yourselves.
While you're looking that up, Eric is back
in
an Argyle V-neck. you've worn that before, though.
Won all of them before.
Why
Fred.
Do you get so upset?
I don't. I'm just
have you
tired.
Tried seafood?
No, I'm just
tired.
Tired.
Right?
Although after
it's
been a long
Friday,
year,
you not been sleeping well at night?
No. I'm saying just tired emotionally.
From,
it's been a
from
long
what?
Year. It's been a long year.
Oh, wait
team's not doing well. You know.
Well, why do you care?
Why do
you...
I care? Because we're part of the organization,
I know, but
Fred.
You checked out weeks ago. What why
what
now
you
are you emotional
out?
About it?
You had your closure a couple weeks ago. You closed the door on the dynasty, so you should be okay.
That's why it's mentally
but
exhausting.
You're past it. Once there's closure,
yeah.
Draining.
Now you can relax.
Right. No, I can't relax. We still have a paper to put out.
You're not worried about like playoffs and papers and previews and AFC title
yeah,
games
we,
on the
we
road?
We are going to make the playoffs.
But you think the dynasty's dead, so they'll lose the first round and everything. I mean, you have no
that's
hope.
Why it's draining. You know, it's emotionally draining.
Emotionally draining.
Yeah.
Wow.
You don't like to see it. It's, you know.
More importantly, will you have new sweaters to wear next week after the holidays?
We'll see. I don't know. Depends.
Somebody will give you
Christmas.
A sweater, right?
I don't know.
It's not going to be like your birthday when you didn't get any presents.
I don't know.
You didn't get any presents for your birthday?
I don't ask for presents.
I didn't ask if you well, asked
who
for
who asks for presents?
Right.
Who,
a lot of people do.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
Jackson people. Hart.
Oh, little kid.
Thomas the trade table. Okay. Why is it not under the tree yet?
After an hour and 20 minutes of butting heads, Fred and Paul have found common ground.
Right.
Who asked for presents? Guskowski, by the way, second in the AFC in points with 111, a distant second, however, to 129 for Nate Keating. And Keating is 29 for 32 on field goals, which is pretty good. 24 of 29 for Guskowski. So there's a
horse
significant
race there, huh?
Drop
what about
off.
The kickoffs?
Drop
talk amongst yourselves.
Touchbacks. as I said, Guskowski is second, and Keating is middle of the pack.
Question.
19 to 9.
Why is this clown on television right now?
Brett Favre. You know, there's a big feud, and they're running
Childress
Favre.
I don't know if you know, it's one of the biggest stories in the NFL.
No,
it's the coach and quarterback hate each other.
It's his Wednesday press conference, so.
They're airing it live because
not
of the
anymore,
feud
they're
for this
not.
Coach.
Oh, yeah.
All TVs just went white.
Yeah.
Wow, it's like the old day. Wow. It's like the old days
with the rabbit ears.
When cable what just came out. And
I think I saw a nipple.
Yes. Don't move. Don't
a
move.
A nipple.
All right, Eric, you just came from practice. What's the news?
The news is we actually got to see more than stretching today.
Really?
Early Christmas gift from Bill Belichick.
Wow. So what'd you see?
just an extra drill.
an extra pad.
Right. They were out on the game field because that's where the game's going to be this weekend.
In the bowl?
In the bowl, yeah.
Because that's what it's going to be this weekend. That's good.
Is this what we get? You miss an hour and a half of the show and we get, because that's where the game's going to be this weekend.
I thought they might play in the parking lot.
And Fred was worried we wouldn't have enough time to get to the poem.
Yeah, I know, right? Brady and Moss and Vantacane, the three missing players, which means good news, Warren and Wilfork were back on the field. I mean, Moss.
I won't take it as good news if Brady and Moss aren't on the field.
No,
Brady
I
and Moss.
That it's not to
it's
be
sweet.
Vantacane, what's wrong with him?
I don't know. But it's Wednesday, Andy. So there's nothing to worry about with Brady and Moss.
Yeah, one's hurt. The other's been hurt all year. And
I was sort
and has adopted the Moss approach of taking Wednesdays off.
I was sort of hoping that Brady was feeling a little. I mean, I don't know why I was hoping, but that he could practice the whole week. You know, 2 weeks ago he missed Wednesday and Thursday. Last week he just missed Wednesday. I was hoping that maybe, you know, ill-placed hope, I guess.
Yep. And it looks like they're done with full pads for the year.
Well, that
because they haven't been wearing them for
that know. Makes sense.
Why didn't they practice in pads? The game will be played in pads.
That's a good point, Andy.
On the game field, not the practice field.
You want to know the black shirts?
I know Thomas Williams.
Thomas Williams, you can't make fun of anymore.
Although, does the guy with the belt
dirty shirt?
Get to the black
No, yeah. we've discussed
the guy
that
with
flaw.
The belt doesn't.
No one on the local news gets to see the Dirty Show Player of the Week because he just has his normal jersey on.
They do because they normally shoot it, but. You
don't
they watch
don't
local
put
news
that
either,
on the
so.
News. I guarantee it.
I didn't like this argument last week, and I really regret bringing it up.
Okay, go. Black
All
jerseys.
Right, Kyle Arrington, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, Eric Alexander, and Darnell Jenkins.
Ooh, Darnell.
Yep.
Does he look fast? Have you seen him run?
No.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, this is a question I
he
don't know.
He doesn't look
the
fast,
to.
Though, when you
no,
see
he's
him in
stuck.
The.
He's a fire hydrant.
Yeah. Who's faster, Edelman Me. Or Welker?
Edelman.
He is faster?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think either has elite speed by
no,
any
but,
means.
But Edelman's faster?
I'd say Edelman. Yeah.
I would say Edelman is faster. Welker is quicker.
Yeah, okay. Just curious.
Oh, good nuance there, Paul.
Would you agree?
Yeah. I think they both have better quickness than they do speed.
I agree
I think
with that
they both are lacking in top-end speed.
All right. Let's see.
I remember, I think Edelman was a 4.6 guy.
I was going to say 4.7, but whatever.
Splitting hairs, which you can't afford to do with people like us.
Wow.
You, did you get ourselves. All the black shot jerseys, by the way? Because you missed a few in previous weeks. It was brought to my attention.
By whom?
Some other people.
What other people?
Sources.
What
Named.
Other people?
Sources inside the locker room.
Named?
That's as far as I can go.
What are you talking about, Willis?
I love
That's
that
a good
one.
Addition.
I love that
You missed
one.
The poem, Eric.
What about the fat one?
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Funny because he's fat.
You didn't want to hear it?
No, I have work to do, Fred.
But
I couldn't care less about
I
poems.
I have headphones on. Oh, wow. I can hear you.
It's funny because he's fat.
He says it with such indignation. I have work to do.
What you talking about, Willis?
Was it good? Who wrote it? That
Dan
same
from,
guy, Dan,
yeah,
Dan from...
Dan Heffern.
Who
yeah.
wrote it?
Who wrote it?
It was the 8th annual.
Okay.
It's been around longer than you have.
Okay, fine. Wow. Was it good?
Yep.
Though,
yep.
Compared to other years?
Yeah, it's very detailed.
Very.
As you said this morning, you can go listen to it online.
That's yeah. actually why I knew you didn't get birthday presents, because he brought it up. I
didn't,
know
about
remember.
That.
Who brought Oh, Dan did.
And he said your birthday's coming in a few weeks?
Yeah.
When?
Thanks for remembering.
You don't ask for presents. What do I need to remember for?
To say happy birthday.
So you're asking me to say happy birthday?
When no, I'm not. But I'm saying
okay.
a nice person would normally remember.
So
a nice person would give you presents.
So in your mind, you justified not getting presents because you didn't ask for them?
No. I don't. That's just, I don't care
in
about
reality. You'll
presents.
Be crying in 5 minutes.
What?
I don't care about
January 29, looking good.
January 6.
January 6.
Yep.
2 days after
that's
my
a tough. Day. That's a tough birthday.
No, it's no, it's a great birthday.
Yeah,
actually.
It's too close to Christmas. And.
And? If you're like me and don't care about gifts, it makes no never mind.
You if
care.
You tell yourself at
you,
this
yeah,
point.
You can't, believe me.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
If you toughen up by age 13 by convincing yourself
right,
you don't
right,
want gifts.
Right.
With a hardened exterior.
It's all going to come crumbling down eventually.
Yeah, and we're going to be crumbling in front of him.
I love when Fred does his hands of George Plimpton psychiatrist look.
All right.
That's Eric when it comes crumbling down.
It's Thursday, and it's kind of, that was
good.
Not Thursday. It's Wednesday, but we're not doing a show tomorrow.
40 this year, huh?
It'll be
no.
big
4-0. It's
no.
a big one for
no,
you.
No, it's
you
not.
You can ask for presents on the decade
it's
one.
It's not. Idiot.
It doesn't matter.
I'm going to get him a stripper.
Don't worry about it. Well, if you're going to do that, go the whole way.
I think he knows a nude model.
See, I can tell.
Mandy May.
I can tell
Misty?
There's something on Eric's mind.
That's a
because
player.
You've peeled off the label of your soda. You don't do that often. So you're,
is that that's
sexual frustration?
Yeah, you're very pensive right now. And
you know, the label of your,
what did I miss in the last hour and a half?
Something's
we're
bothering
talking
you.
About.
Something's
See?
Bothering.
Doc is online with me, and Doc's a doc.
Yeah.
Come on, he knows.
He's a doctor.
Yeah.
Who's sexually frustrated?
Something's bothering
he
you.
He is, too.
What is bothering you?
I thought you were married.
Is it work-related?
Is
he it
is. That's why. Oh, that's why, huh?
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Have you tried seafood?
Yes.
No, there's something going on, Eric, and
we're
gonna
get
it'd be better if you talked about it.
He's mildly convincing me.
You know, it's better when you get it off your chest. You know?
Yeah, sure.
Ixnay on the SJ.
Something's all
what's
right.
on? What?
I'll leave it at that.
Tell Fred.
What?
Tell
me
what?
What
happened? What's wrong with you?
Nothing. Why are you ick?
What would be the greatest?
I know where he was going.
What would be the greatest present you could ask for? Something on his chest.
Someone to buy his art.
That's kind of what I was thinking, but would that be it?
No.
No, I...
New sweater.
No.
Little badge.
see now.
Is that... You said what's the greatest. I mean, come on.
But that would be the greatest, just any random? Any
no,
at all?
No, 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 no.
Any?
No, no,
Joey
no.
Galloway caliber?
No, 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 no.
Who do you think he is? The Patriots
Randy caliber. Moss caliber.
Exactly.
I'm glad I wasn't
I like
part
how
of that.
He snuck that in with a very low voice.
So that would be the greatest present ever. Really, if we got you a professional.
No.
No, because you want to get her on your own?
Yes.
Well, come on. A professional.
Well, if you want to,
we could use your money.
Just dream here. I know it was a kind of a dream, but.
All right, well,
you opened it up to that.
If something
so, yeah.
you want to talk about, you can talk about it, Eric.
Yeah.
This is the
right,
best
with
part.
You guys.
No
sure.
one's listening.
Because
no
we have to do the
anyway.
Picks.
Right.
All right. What? Timeout?
We always take a break before the picks.
All right, let's take a break. Doc wants to take a break. We'll be right back.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
All right.
Well done. Doc actually did some work this week.
It's our last show before Christmas, so that means we have to go around the NFL and do our picks. Tomorrow will be Patriots Friday on a Thursday. So, Paul, what happened last week?
Tough week last week, Freddie. Eric won it with a 10-6 record, followed by the three of us at 9-7.
Wait a minute.
On the bus, you said I was like...
Yeah. That was the 1 o'clock game spread. The late games count.
No. You were coming home. You said I was like... I had 3 losses.
Yeah, and you ended up with 7.
You lost a lot after there were 1 o'clock games.
There were 4 o'clock games. There was a night game.
What other things?
You lost Jacksonville, like Green Bay, Miami, Denver, Seattle, Minnesota.
Yeah, it's irrelevant.
Washington.
Anyway. You stink. You're not going to catch up.
Gotta hurry here. Gotta hurry.
Nobody's reciting the Lions' losses.
At 7 losses.
So what did we do last week?
And with the spread, you won the week with the spread, Freddie, at 8-6-2, followed by
the look.
Eric at 5-9-2, and then Andy, you and I were 4-10-2. So the standings for the season, real quick: Eric 152-72, Andy 150-74, Paul 149-75, Fred 135-89. With the spread, Eric also leading there, 117-104-3, followed by me at 116-105-3, Andy 107-114-3, and Fred 103-118-3.
I'm out of it.
Coming back.
Really too stupid to insult.
All right. You could make up 10 games in 2 weeks.
Sure. It's December.
With the spread?
Why not?
No chance.
That's a tough one. You guys would have to go 0-4, and I'd have to.
I'm not talking about you. We're talking about me. Oh. You're out of it.
Oh, you've lost it.
Like, Fred beat you by 4 games this week.
You
can make up 4 or 5 games in a week.
Yeah. It's like Carol thinking she's going to get 12 touchdown passes out of Brady in the next 2 games to win the bet with me.
Well, I don't know why I have to be so negative. San Diego on Christmas night is at Tennessee in the game that we talked about a little bit earlier. Titans by 3.
Titans. San Diego. You know what?
Yourself, San Diego.
I'm just going to do it. I'm gonna pick with my heart, Paul. You know where my heart is.
Vince Young.
Vinsanity gets it done, keeps his hopes alive, and helps out the Patriots in the process.
Titans are favored by 3, Paul?
Paul, that's just crazy. Looks at Eric.
I know. Paul looks at me with disgust.
Always a chance that I screwed it up. I don't know why I'm giving him that look. I screw at least one of them up a week.
I will take that bet. I'll take the Chargers to win this game outright.
I believe every home team was a favorite this week, except for one, but I'm not positive on that. You will take San Diego?
That one's probably the Chargers.
You'll take San Diego?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I will take Tennessee as well. I think San Diego, as I said earlier, would blow this team out. But Christmas night's not a good time to go across the country and play. San Diego's not going to be interested. They're going to lose their first game in December in, what, 18 games, 17-0?
Something like that.
Philip Rivers has never lost a game as a starter in December. This will be the first.
Really?
It's amazing.
It's Brady-like.
Yeah. I got to go with San Diego. I just don't think that Tennessee can hold up against the Chargers, even though, I agree with Paul. Tough night to play. San Diego... all the way in Tennessee on a Christmas night, but I don't know. I just don't think Tennessee has what it takes to beat the Chargers. So.
They have it.
Seattle.
His name Vince.
Seattle at Green Bay. Packers by 14.
I will take the Packers to win, but I do not trust them with that big number, so I'll lay the points.
I don't either. I'll do the same thing.
I will lay the points. It was really an eye-opener how bad Seattle is last week, getting throttled at home by Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I'm with Paul. I think this is going to be a trouncing. I think Green Bay is going to go up and down the field.
I don't trust Green Bay either.
I don't either.
That offense
is
pretty legit, though. I don't trust the defense. The defense has great numbers. I don't trust it. But that offense is pretty good.
I think Green Bay lays it on them. I really do.
Could be. The Gus Johnson special this week?
Slinging bullets.
Which, by the way, I don't think it was Kansas City-Cleveland. He did a different game that went down the wire. I forget which one. Anyway, Oakland at Cleveland.
He's got to get that game.
Browns by 3.5.
I do not buy into the Browns putting things together and moving in the right direction like Jim Brown did, who said Eric Mangini deserves at least another year to keep things rolling.
Oh, that's a joke.
But I also don't believe in the Oakland Raiders. So I'll take the bad home team here in a bad, bad game to win. What's the spread?
3.5.
So I need at least 4 points. I'll take them to win and cover. 4-0.
two safeties?
See, Al Davis has said that Jamarcus Russell will be back.
If he plays, so my chance of 2 safeties is not terrible. Not Orlovsky-like, but...
I guess I'll take the Browns, too.
Yeah.
You think Jay Harrison was the biggest pickup in fantasy sports this week?
Jay.
Jay. The letter J.
After doubling his season production with 286 yards.
One thing I've learned in all my years is you never pick the Raiders to win two games in a row.
This is championship week in fantasy football, isn't
championship.
It?
Championship. I'll take Cleveland.
Yeah, I got to go with Cleveland, too. The two bad teams pick the home team.
Plus, they're playing for jobs. Mike Holmgren might be in the building, right? Yeah, watching and observing. And
that's right.
Kansas
Eric
City.
Nagini says he's very comfortable with how that,
watching,
process,
judging,
that process is
judging,
going.
Watching, judging, watching.
I'm excited to be a head coach.
Old school?
How's the process going?
Vince Vaughn?
Just
up on the altar looking at his wife?
He's very comfortable.
She's always out there judging.
I wouldn't
watching.
Be overly comfortable
if
I were him.
That's the irony of his statement.
I remember that.
Doc? No?
It's interesting. You know, the irony of this radio show is there's two shows on at once.
Kansas City at Cincinnati.
Stereo.
Bengals by 13.5.
Kansas City at Cincinnati. Bengals will win, but they will not cover. It's going to be a dogfight.
I'll take Cincinnati and lay the points.
Why the gay hand gesture?
I will take Cincinnati to win, but I will take the points.
This is the upset of the week. Kansas City wins outright.
Just because you do a gay hand gesture doesn't mean you're gay.
Okay.
But that was indeed a gay hand gesture, so it's open to choking. Just like my sitting like this is very gay.
Anyway, Buffalo is at Atlanta. Now I see why Fred doesn't think we can get the picks done on time.
We always do.
Atlanta by 8.5.
Hot Atlanta. You know, they're hot after that big
can you
win.
Get that greasy pizza box off my stuff? Thanks.
Wow.
Thanks.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll take Atlanta. Buffalo stinks. Trent Edwards out for the year, right?
After yeah,
that three plays.
Probably, yeah. I'll take Atlanta, too. They're at home. Buffalo I don't really
stinks.
Trust them, but Buffalo kind of stinks. And they're
kind of stinks?
Yeah, kind of.
Stink.
I will take Atlanta to win, but I will take the 8.5.
Ooh.
And Buffalo will keep it within a score.
I'm with Paul, taking the points.
The fuel has run out on Perry.
Oh, see what you did there. Didn't like it necessarily. But
Houston at Miami.
That was okay.
Big game for the Patriots. Mm. Could be if the Patriots stumble. Dolphins by 3.
I will take the Texans to win outright. I think they're the better football team. And, you know, I'm really starting to believe that picking against Chad Henne is a good idea because he stinks. And I saw a number that not only leads me to believe Houston has a chance in this game, but has a chance against the Patriots. 9 games Matt Schaub has completed more than 70% of his passes this year. Accurate passers in this pass defense. I have my concerns a week from now.
I'll take Houston as well. They're fighting for playoff spot. They're the better team overall talent-wise.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, Dolphins are at home, but I do think Houston has more talent. I think they find a way to win.
I know you hate these, but just looking ahead, Houston's had a dramatic turnaround on defense after like the first 3 or 4 games. Remember, they were giving up like huge yards.
Sure.
They actually have in their release, remove the 4 big plays allowed in the first 3 games, and this is what our numbers would look like on the season. So take
I have
it
no
to
problem
a new level.
With that, by the way, from an SID standpoint.
Right.
Media relations, that's their job.
It's called the Casey O'Connell rule.
To take the bad stuff out and accentuate the good stuff. That's what they exist
O'Connell,
for.
Casey O'Connell, former Patriots PR staffer, yeah. Now a lawyer.
I think Miami's going to
law student.
What do they call those?
Win this game. So
prejudice? No.
Interesting.
Prejudice?
Jurist doctors.
Yeah, that thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead, go ahead. Carolina at the Giants. Both teams coming off big wins. Giants at home by 7.
Well, I'm going to continue to use my rule. And generally, I pick against bad quarterbacks. Matt Moore's a bad quarterback.
I thought you were going to say Eli Manning.
and I'll just take the Giants.
Yeah, they're at home. They're a slightly better team. Not a whole lot better. But
what happened to
better.
Their pass rush?
I'll take the
same thing that happened last year. They got tired and worn down and banged up.
But at least last year they had a couple of major injuries.
They have
the
something they need to get off their chest,
they?
Paul.
Like, didn't Umanyora get benched? And it's more
they were tired
in ineffectiveness this year, right? Then what happened? Why did it peak?
Mr. Grumpy Pants.
Oh, Paul and I are trying to talk football, having a mature football conversation.
And he's talking about balls
things
on
his chest.
I mean, what? Anyway, I think the Giants are a lot better than Carolina.
Oh, again.
Come on.
You know, the receivers have a lot of balls.
Thank you.
You thought we were making that up, didn't you, Freddie? I'll take the Giants.
Yeah, I got to take the Giants, too. Although, it'd be interesting to see if Carolina, how they play, because, you know, you take our game, then the game after, you know, last week, obviously, they played well. Is this a trend, or is it just, you know,
Yeah, I think they revert back to how they played against the Patriots and the Giants, blow them out.
Plus, did they play well last week, or did they? Is a ship sinking up there?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Minnetonka.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
That's what I'm saying. I think they revert back to the team that played against the Patriots. They couldn't move, and
I think you're better off going against Matt Moore than with him.
Unless Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin have a huge fight on the sideline, then all bets are off.
He starts audibling out of plays, doing whatever the hell he wants.
Tampa Bay at New Orleans, the now once defeated New Orleans Saints. Saints by 15.
Once bitten, twice shy.
Tampa Bay.
By 15.
Tampa Bay, he took Tampa Bay.
No, I will take the Saints to not only win Paul Perillo, they will cover. They will blow the Bucks off the bleeping planet because the Bucks sucks.
I'll take New Orleans to win, and I'll take those points.
You
somehow,
will?
I think.
Really?
Yeah.
They're going to rally.
Yeah.
I will take New Orleans, and I will lay the points. I think this is they want to bounce back,
absolutely,
show everybody. Just one game, no big deal, nothing to see here. Right.
Then they can rest a little,
then
take it in.
Then they'll take the last week off.
Yeah, I'm with Paul. I think that New Orleans covers.
So, Fred, you were talking a couple weeks ago about the loss, and everybody mocked Michael Gee around here, should they lose late in the year. So do you now feel better about the Saints?
For them, I think it was a good thing for them to lose.
So they have a better chance of going to and potentially winning a Super Bowl now than they did before they lost.
Yes, but I think either way they're not going to win it. But, yes, you're right.
Yeah, I agree with Fred, but I also think it's funny that for some that column that Michael Gee wrote was universally panned.
Yes.
Everybody made fun of him for writing that. But I've never seen an opinion that's so nationally accepted that it's good for these teams to lose a game.
But everybody,
and that guy got killed for writing it. And everybody says, oh, it takes the pressure off. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
He got killed when he wrote that column.
But is it because it was him?
Probably.
I think if truly the only thing that matters is winning a Super Bowl, you can't argue with that column. You know?
That was not written in the undefeated year, right? It was written the year that I think they won 03. They won like the last 12 in a row and into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he said, it's hard to win 16 or 17 in a row, whatever it was.
Right. Carrie Underwood getting married, huh? Mike Fisher?
Baltimore at Pittsburgh
around, huh?
In a game.
What? I thought she was a classy girl.
She'd been around?
She's bounced around.
I don't think
so.
I didn't know that.
I think she's a clean-cut young lady.
She's hot. Carrie Underwood?
She's maybe if we went to TMZsports.com, we'd... Why did she just drop?
Well, I can hope, but...
Carrie Underwear?
Huge game.
Better or worse than yesterday's Earth, Wind, Moreland joke.
Yeah. What huge game with
he's fat.
You know these shoulders, they can carry the earth.
What Ma said.
He said he was really referring to Earth, Wind, Moreland. Big laugh.
Said it here on the radio show and then on the TV show too.
Oh god, big
laughs. Wasn't fun. No.
Crickets.
Our live studio audience.
Are you kidding me? Chris Collins is still laughing.
Because.
Obviously, Fred Kurtz.
That's a fake laugh, by the way.
Exactly.
That he could find.
Yeah. I knew he was going to say that.
Andy Hart. Here we go, boys.
A huge game, potentially, for a playoff partner for the Patriots. That's a lot of P's.
Yes.
Baltimore
at
Pittsburgh.
Perillo.
Dean?
Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
That's going to be a bloody
Steelers
war.
Steelers by 2.5.
That is going to be a bloody war.
2.5? 2.5.
Pittsburgh will be out to prove that, you know, they can be tough, you know, without Polamalu, and it's going to be bloody.
It is going to be bloody. I am going to
There will be blood!
I'm going to take the Baltimore
Ravens. Daniel Day-Lewis over here.
Daniel O'Day. What's his
Daniel
name?
Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel O'Day.
He's a frightening dude.
He could go see. There's something about Very Jacksonville lucky. With the they got the three named people: Jack Del Rio,
right,
and Morris Jones-Drew, and the other guys.
Mike Sims Walker. Walker.
He added the Sims this year.
Yeah,
Henry Wilkes Booth.
I'll take the Ravens whenever.
What's
Fred's
going
done.
On here? I'd like to take the Ravens, but
so you're gonna take
home,
Worthless Hot Dog?
I'm gonna take Worthless Hot Dog because they're at home.
We didn't actually get an official on-the-record response for you from you for the subpar performance that Worthless Hot Dog put
503 yards passing.
I think I did when we were on the bus. No, where were we? Yeah, we were on the bus coming home.
I didn't hear it.
And
did you know it threw for 503 yards?
That's when I turned around to it, and I said, did you see that, 503 yards? Maybe you were asleep at that point. But
I may have been. Either that or participating in that conversation behind me about actors and the movies they were in. Did you hear that game at all?
I was
whatever.
Oh, that's right. We owe a group apology, I think, at this point to Brittany Murphy. because there's a lot more there than just an overdose on drugs. She had diabetic issues, may have been murdered. There's a lot there. It wasn't just an overdose.
Oh, really? She may have been murdered?
Well, I don't know.
Allegedly
suspicious. I want to stay as far away from accusing somebody of murder, but...
They wanted to have an autopsy, and the husband was really, really steadfast against it.
Who's also her manager, who...
Right, because of drugs.
They know all about the drugs because of the... There was a laundry list of drugs clonopin and...
There's a lot going on there, Fred. It wasn't just a case of flat overdose.
They were all legal prescription drugs. Nothing illegal.
So why not want to have an autopsy?
So we have like a.
But that's what's making it suspicious. Yes. Right. He's so steadfast against it.
Can I infer that there's sort of a Heath Ledger kind of thing here going on?
Yes.
Well, let's just. Yeah.
That's what it looks like. But not foul play, it looks, but.
You never know.
You never know.
There's a question.
It wasn't quite as simple as we all mocked in the
press. Well, we just figured 32-year-old.
Right.
You know,
Cardiac arrest
due to drugs.
But
probably,
she had 10 straight days of, like, heart. You know, she was having trouble breathing.
She's a diabetic, and she had the flu and had been really having a hard time.
Okay, my apologies.
Anyway, Baltimore is my pick for this game.
Me too.
But a very tough game it will be. As Fred said, a bloodbath.
Mendenhall.
I think
payback.
Baltimore wins.
Mendenhall can be ridiculous against Ray Lewis.
Flacco had a little bit of a dip. Midseason, but he's coming back next.
Like Doc? Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Well, a lot of a dip in his lip.
Denver is at Philadelphia.
It's a lot. Dip.
Where the Eagles very well could be playing the best football in the league.
Yeah.
Right now, but they're favored by 7.
Over who?
Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Not playing. Denver's good.
Denver's not playing well. Denver's a quarterback awful. Who can't throw the ball. Asante Samuel will pick him off. And I thought the stat of the week last week I heard. When DeSean Jackson scored, it was like from 19 yards out. And DeSean Jackson with his shortest touchdown of the year. Just ridiculous playmaker.
19 yards was his shortest.
To average,
17 or 19. Like shortest touchdown of the year.
But to average over 19 yards a catch and go over 1,000 yards in this day and age is remarkable.
Especially a little guy. He just, he's impressive. There's some impressive playmakers in the league right now. Just pure, probably short window.
Right.
You know, I don't think Chris Johnson's going to have a huge career, but there are some great playmakers.
And he's
right
a little guy.
He's
not much bigger than Welker.
Right.
I'm going to look up the other 1,000-yard receiver.
He's a lot faster, of course.
But we need to pay homage to the playmakers that exist right now.
Okay.
It reminds me of the days when Bo played.
I thought you were going to talk about Seattle Slough. 1,000-yard.
I like men, not horses.
1,000-yard receivers. I'm just going to rattle off a few. Here's their average per catch: 11.6, 13.2, 15.9, 12.9, 14.3, 15.5 for Moss.
What was this? I wasn't listening.
Santonio Holmes, 15.8. Those are the guys that have already gone over 1,000 yards in their average per catch. DeSean Jackson is averaging almost 20 yards a catch, almost 5 full yards more than the next closest guy.
Andre Johnson's is pretty good, though, right?
Andre Johnson is averaging 15.9.
15.
That's pretty high.
And you know what? He's going to become the first player since Jerry Rice, and only the second player ever, lead the league in receiving yards 2 years in a row.
The thing that I find, you know, the biggest thing about Andre Johnson is didn't Houston start the year with, like, he was the only guy? And everyone figured, well, they're going to shut him down and he's going to have trouble.
Down.
But somehow he's still got his production.
Yeah, it's funny
he's
how
great
that works. You can, you know, probably have seen his fair share of double coverage.
I know.
Sidney Rice also
Patriots
very impressive, by the way. Over 16 yards for a catch. That was intentional.
Oh, that's in the past. It's finished.
That was
it's
intentional.
Done.
That
we're
was
talking
intentional
in facts
for you
here. It's over.
Sidney Rice also over 16 yards a catch and over 1,000 yards.
And that's over, too, because he requires Brett Favre to throw him the football.
We're still on Denver at Philly.
Well, he starts the picks at like 12:30.
I'll take Philly, and you can lay those points.
I will as well.
I'm going to take Philly, but I'll
and
take
root
the points.
Oh, really?
Take the points.
You're taking your boy Genius McDaniels.
I think Denver's defense will make it a little tough for McNabb, but I think that Philly wins the game.
St. Louis at Arizona, Cards by 14.
I will take the Cards because they're at home. And they're playing St. Louis. I'll lay it, too.
Could the Cards be a team that surprises people come playoff time?
Yes.
Or are they one
just
and
like
done?
They did
just
last
like
year.
They did last year, right?
Yeah,
yes.
I know they did that last year. But
I just
think
they
do I think
again
they will? No.
They won't surprise them the way they did last year.
They can
year,
throw for 400 yards and have 200-yard receivers any day of the week.
I think when the biggest problem is every once in a while Warner will throw that back-breaking interception like he did last week. Mm. They were going in to make it 24-0, and he throws one of those 100-yard interception returns that changes the game. Other than that, their offense is virtually unstoppable, and their defense is much, much improved.
Yeah,
I think it's a very good team. Me and Andy have been arguing about this all year.
I think they're what you think they are. could be anything any given day.
Right.
Well, heart attack meter. Brittany Murphy's heart attack meter.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Glad you made that apology.
Yeah. I'll take Cardinals to win as well.
John, I've had a job interview today.
Yeah, I'll take the Cardinals, too.
I'll take the Cardinals. Gotta hurry.
Gotta hurry, yeah.
Why? Because it's 5-0.
We need time to talk about John Rook and his job interview.
Detroit at San Francisco. Niners by 11.5.
Niners will win, and they will cover. I like the Niners at home. I feel pretty good about picking the Niners at home against the inept Lions.
11.5, huh?
Who's playing quarterback for the Lions? Anyone?
There's a 30% chance.
You know what? I was originally going to take the points, but I'm changing.
30% chance of what?
Go ahead.
That any one of those guys will play.
Oh, okay.
Go.
I'll take San Fran.
What about the other 10%?
And, lay the points.
Yeah, I'll take the Niners. I was originally going to take the points, but if Stafford,
I'll lay the points.
I like the Niners. I think the Niners are an up-and-coming team. They're a playmaker or two away. Jets at Indy. Oh. Well, I think he's played reasonably well. Last week he didn't, but he's played all right.
Not consistently
but
enough.
To commit to him?
Yeah, to commit to him. I don't know about that.
That's up to Singletary.
It's not about no committing.
Because I don't know what the contract stuff is. I don't know what he's got left. That's what I'm saying. I don't know about the commitment.
I don't think he does he?
I don't know.
He's,
it's been a few years now.
Yeah, I think he's coming to the end of his deal.
Well, I would re-sign him then.
You would?
What if he wants big money?
Well, he's not going to get big money.
I don't know. Other teams have sucky quarterbacks.
Yeah. Let's
table this because the boss is getting restless.
Boss.
Jets at Indy. I have a one-man audience. Thank you, Eric. Indy by 7.
You're a loser.
I'll take Indy to win and cover, despite Rex Ryan telling me that they have the best defense in everything all year long.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't make the plays they need to make when they need to make them. And guess who makes the plays he needs to make when he needs to make them?
Peyton Manning.
You got it.
What's the number?
7.
Oh, yeah.
And Jim Caldwell, because no one says his name.
Yeah, I am going to continue to take Indy again until I see something that proves otherwise. And this just in, Tony Gonzalez might be the target on 4th and goal.
Yeah.
They might go to him if the game's on the line.
As Rodney Harrison said, the only person who didn't know that was Rex Ryan.
Right.
I'm going to go with the Jets to win this game.
Why?
That's Fred's ultimate hatred game right there.
I thought you were rooting for the Colts to go undefeated and win the Super Bowl.
No. Only if they both went undefeated, he would root for the Colts. Now he has it.
John Rook is shaking his head. He has to follow this crap.
Dallas at Washington. Washington is an embarrassment getting 7.
That's not enough for them because they are an embarrassment.
Not enough.
Even a team like Dallas, who you're always fearful they might not show up, still win.
Yeah. I really thought they were playing well, too. I thought heading into last game that they had been playing a little bit better.
Who, the Fighting Jim Zorns?
Well, Jim Zorns and whoever else is involved in that.
The Fighting. Yeah.
You know Vinny Serrato is still
to be Shanahan's?
Yeah. Well, they still owe him money.
You got Dallas, too?
Yeah, I'll take Dallas.
Yeah, I'll take Dallas, Freddie.
Gotta hurry, Fred.
I'm going to take Washington.
Now, is this the year Jim Zorn wins Coach of the Year that you predicted?
Right. It's a
those are the picks that have him sitting at 103-118. Minnesota at Chicago. Bears getting 7 at home.
What?
Minnesota at Chicago. Bears getting 7. That's a good basketball team, John Rook, by the way.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
I know you needed my stamp of approval.
Well, yes, I'm going to ask a question here. Does Rick Barnes not get enough credit?
I think he's...
Well, I mean, a lot of his fans ran him out of here about 10 years ago, so,
Now, every time I look up, Texas is a top-ranked team.
I think
he's
a great
coach now.
I think he's a great recruiter.
He's learned how to coach. He's learned how to coach.
He's learned coaching at the pro level.
He's always been a great recruiter.
Yeah.
I think he's a great recruiter, not a great coach.
How long are we going here?
I will take Minnesota despite all the crap because I just can't pick
the Bears
Cutler.
Suck.
I hate Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Hate him.
I do, too. He's a crybaby.
I will take Minnesota, but not feel great about it. I just can't take Chicago right now. That's a train wreck.
I know. It is, but I'm going to take him.
Once again,
he's desperately trying to catch up in the standings. It's a lost cause.
Those are the picks that have you sitting at 103, 118, and 3. We've come to the end of the line here.
Wow, I don't know how we did it with a minute and a half to go.
Patriots by 7.5.
Well, that Haif again.
That Haif could be a big Haif. Would have been a big Haif last week. I will take the Patriots to win. And I will not take them to cover. I will take the points with the Jags. I just can't pick this team to cover bigger than a touchdown right now. I'd like it to be under a touchdown. I'd probably lay it, but over the touchdown, no. And I actually think this one could come down to a field goal, 4-point type game. Because I think the Jags are pretty good. I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew can run the ball. They have some receivers through the air. They play a little defense. I'm getting the nod from Mr. Negativity here, John
Rook.
What?
I'm actually stunned that I'm in agreement with Andy on anything, but that I actually agree with you on.
That is the first coherent, lucid argument you've ever made.
So, yeah, it is what it is. Go, Eric.
I'm going to take New England to win. That's the shock of the week. I'm also going to take them to cover.
Wow.
I know. I do believe
7.5.
Like Andy said, it's going to be tough. But like last week in Buffalo, it came close, but they still ended up winning.
Yeah, but they wouldn't
by
cover
7.
This week.
It's the anti-Andy.
Yeah,
yeah. I think they'll just squeak out winning. Covering. So
yeah, this is a red flag spread to me. They know something that we don't, but I'm going to fall for it, and I'll take the Patriots to win the game, but I'll take Jags to cover. 27-23.
Well, since I picked the score, it's 27-19. I'm going to pick the Patriots to win and cover.
Ooh, by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah. So that's it.
I don't know what we're going to do.
So, John Rook, did you really have a job interview today?
By the way.
No, not exactly.
That's not the clock.
But, you know, I'm always on audition.
That clock is not the clock.
Who do I need to audition for here?
I don't know, but unfortunately they're listening to us and you and just erase it from their memory.
Of course.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW.
What happened to the crossover?
The crossover.
Ask
John Rook, what is
that
going on?
Shut up.
The crossover was asking me about my job interview.
Right now, John Rook is preparing for Patriots Playbook, and what do you got going today?
We have a columnist for the Florida Times Union who will join us to talk about the Jags. No.
Oh, good. What's his name? Mike Wright?
What's his name?
Doug Fournette.
Mike Wright?
Yes, Doug Fournette. Thank you.
Gene Fournette.
Okay.
Thank you. I knew it was Doug Gene
he
something.
He goes, yes. Doug.
Something.
Good friend. You go way back, right?
And you've got Eric.
Way back.
I'm going to listen. He's going to say, good friend of mine.
All right.
We'll hear some of my locker room interviews coming up as well. And,
sorry.
All right.
Not too many of those.
To everyone, Merry Christmas. We won't talk to you until next Tuesday.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
But so then, until then, see you next Tuesday.
Hope you get what you want.